We are New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77.
WABC.
That got a passport and grand. Priceless art. I'm one of the little girls that want to tear me apart. When I walk down the street, people can stop and stare. Well, you can find out like a thrill to be. I don't care, cause I got more good luck than an old King Blue. But the whole
today. I wonder if Bernard is going to join me, but my plans are all set for today, and this is the perfect song for it, Matt Meany. Bruce Springsteen, Tunnel of Love, as Bernie and I get started on this Friday morning. Bernard, good morning. How are you, pal?
Sid Rosenberg, player.
My plans are set. I am ready to go. Big, big day today, and here's how it's going to go, Bernie. As soon as this show ends, as you make your trip back to your palatial estate on Long Island, I should say.
That's right.
I'm going to make my way towards the subway and try to find the one train, or any train, that actually stops on Stillwell Avenue. You know where that is, Bernie?
It's in Brooklyn, I know that.
And where?
But the one train, the one train is ends in Manhattan.
I mean, it's the N train, I forget which one. But right. The D train goes there, and
yeah,
the B train,
yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
And the Q. But where exactly is Stillwell Avenue?
The IND lines go out, the IRT lines.
Right.
Not necessarily. Stillwell Avenue, where, Gravesend?
No, come on.
Coney Island.
There you go.
Oh, yes, the park is opening today.
That is correct. Make my way to Stillwell Avenue, going to go to the amusement park in Coney Island, going to go to the amusement park in Luna Park, where my great Uncle Sam and Aunt Naomi lived, and then maybe go to Gargiulo's for dinner, have John Catsimatidis buy me dinner, maybe stop by his beautiful new buildings, Ocean Drive, there in Coney Island. Today is the day Coney Island reopens. Right. In my opinion, today is the day Brooklyn reopens, and everybody, as Frank Morano shakes his head, yes, everybody should make their way today to Coney Island. Everybody.
You know what today is? Today is VCV Day.
VCV.
Victory over the China Virus Day.
Because is that what it is?
If Coney Island's opening, come on. Hey, I heard Luna Park, they're actually going to gate it off. You have to pay to get in. Now, as where previously, you could just walk in.
Yeah, they did do that.
And that's because of, so it's not complete and total VCV day.
Not even close.
So we still have some restrictions.
No, more than some.
Yeah,
I think it's only, it's still 33%, right? The capacity for the park is still only
right.
One-third.
Right, right, right.
And they're going to expect you to wear a mask. Like, for example, Pete Morgan, our dear friend from Peerless Boilers listening right now, he went to the Ranger game last night. Rangers and Penguins at Madison Square Garden. And he said, don't worry, Bernie and Sid. You're not missing anything. Penn Station is still an S show. Criminals, yeah. Homeless, people with duty in their pants walking around. He said, and the only time people got upset was when you weren't wearing a mask. I'm like, I remember those days.
Isn't that unbelievable? That's the only time they get upset. Everybody
yeah.
can do anything they want.
Yeah.
They can defecate on the floor. Guy over there is defecating on the floor. You're not wearing a mask. They come after you.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Welcome to 2021.
Right. The unfortunate part is that today is not the greatest weather day. We just had three or four consecutive beautiful days in a row, mid-60s, plenty of sunshine. Today's going to be mostly overcast, less than 60, and maybe even a little rain. So ideally, yesterday would have been a better day for Coney Island, but not a lot of rain today, so you can make your way to the amusement park.
Yeah, oh no, you're going to have a pretty good day, nonetheless. Although, of course, Coney Island is right off the water, maybe just a slightly chilly. But
yeah.
It ain't going to be raining today. You're going to have a good day. It's going to be great.
All right.
Look, they announced yesterday they're going to open the beaches on time.
Memorial Day.
That's
yes.
right. And today Coney Island's opening up. The Mets yesterday had people in the stands.
Yes,
they had 8,000 people
in
the stands?
A little over about 8,300.
Yeah, so things are looking up. And we're rapidly reaching herd immunity. Yeah. I think 40% of the country is vaccinated already, or something like that.
A lot of us here are. You are. Juliet is. Deb is. Or she's going today, I should say. So a lot of us here in this building have been vaccinated.
Yeah.
Also, pools will reopen on time this year, the first week of June.
That's
and
right.
As you and I talked about last year at this time, the mayor did not make any plans to reopen the beaches and or the pools.
No, last year they forgot. It was like June where de Blasio, somebody said to Mayor de Blasio, so what about the beaches? He goes, oh, yeah, right. That's right. You know what? We can't open them for a few weeks. We're going to have to train some lifeguards. Somebody get on that, please. This is June last year. But no, whatever. This is a different year, and they're going to open them. You know, it's going to be a wild summer. People are going to be tearing it up.
Because I think so. Yeah.
This country's going to open wide open, after we reach this herd immunity, which is going to be within a couple of months, maybe less.
I think so, too. Big announcement yesterday on the show. Don't forget Congressman Lee Zeldin. Yes, he was on Fox News. Yes, he was on Channel 5. But as Bernie said, his first broadcast announcement, his first radio announcement came right here as promised with Bernie and Sid. Lee Zeldin is, in fact, running for governor. We will talk to John Tobacco later this morning. He's running for comptroller here in New York. He'll be on about 7:25. Also from Newsmax, Sebastian Gorka. He'll be on at 8:40, and we'll have our weekly conversation with the host of Red Carpet Rendezvous, the very entertaining Lauren Conlon. She's coming up at 9:25. So great show today on this Getaway Friday. Philip Adams, I remember Philip Adams very, very well. He did not spend a lot of time in a lot of places. I think he played 6 years in the NFL and played on 5 teams. I distinctly remember his days with the Jets and the Seahawks. Came out of South Carolina State where the all-time great Giant linebacker Harry Carson became a Hall of Famer and was drafted by San Francisco. This guy goes out there and kills 5 people. And if I hear one person talk about guns, when this guy was clearly crazy, off his meds, killed this doctor because the doctor would not give him his meds. This is another example of crazy killing.
Yeah, perhaps. When you say he was off his meds,
yeah.
In other words, my inference from the story that I read was that the doc cut him off probably from painkillers. In other words, it wasn't a matter of,
it wasn't Wellbutrin.
Psycho, whatever.
It wasn't depression medication.
Right, exactly.
Right.
In other words, he cut him off from, he was addicted, and he got mad.
Yeah.
So not it wasn't necessarily that he lost his mind because he didn't have the right drugs in his system.
Right.
He was angry. He couldn't get high anymore.
But he was. People did say he had some emotional issues.
He had 2 concussions in the NFL.
That's not many.
But right, I was just going to say, if that's the metric, then Troy Aikman would have killed Joe Buck a long time ago.
Steve Young. I mean, the stories, Junior Seau killed himself. Dave Dorson killed himself. We've seen other former NFL players commit violent acts against other people. And you're right, Bernie, they blame this CTE deal, this concussion deal. And maybe in some of those cases, it's true. But once again, to me, that sounds kind of lazy, too. I mean, 99% of players in the NFL get concussions. Some get multiple. I read that Steve Young had 23 of them, and he didn't go out and kill a bunch of people. So I'm with you. I don't understand why we are so quick to label something so quickly, and it seems lazy to me when you assess the real crime.
I would add to that, yes, you're right about that. Also, it's not getting wide coverage. I saw in the news this morning, for example, on Channel 4, they talked about the shooting in Texas. There was a mass shooting in Texas where one person was killed. And in the whole newscast on local Channel 4, they didn't mention this shooting at all.
And,
and this guy's a former New York Jet. It is on the front page of the New York Daily News this morning.
Daily News, not the Post.
No.
Are you saying that, and I'm not, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but are you saying that maybe because he's a black guy?
I honestly, I'm not saying that at all.
Okay.
I just don't know why it's not a story, why you would bring up the Texas massacre and not this one.
No one knows who
somebody
the guy
has
in
to
Texas
explain,
was.
Right. Somebody has to explain that to me. And I saw it on a few different newscasts. They ignored this story. And I'm not sure why. I really don't. This is a mass shooting. This is another mass shooting.
Yeah.
Some crazy ex-NFLer who was angry that he wasn't getting his drugs from the doctor. This beautiful doctor, 70-year-old. His wife was, they were great people. Their two grandkids killed.
That was terrible. Two young grandchildren.
That is, you can't ignore a story like that.
No.
Look, it's tragic, of course. I'm not assigning any, I don't know what exactly happened. I am reading this morning that the doc cut him off from his, as you said, his meds. But I'm reading that as his pain pills.
You're probably right, yeah. I don't know that for a fact, but I'm going to assume you're exactly right. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. As always, that's the number. I'm actually not going to Coney Island today. I'm going someplace else. Tell you about it later. But an old friend of ours from WFAN does something on Fridays at a landmark nearby, which I've been going to actually quite a bit over the last couple of months. And I'm going to be there today. You figured it out?
I already know.
I think you do.
There's a spark of magic in your eye. Candyland appears each time you smile. Never thought that fairy tales came true. But they come true when I'm near you. You're a genie in disguise. All of wonder and surprise. And picture my God.
This is our morning long distance dedication, Casey Kasem dedication of the day. It goes out to our esteemed program director, Dave Labrosi, the Stylistics. Betcha by God.
Will my love for you keep growing strong?
So I'll tell you later where I'm actually going today. It's not Coney Island. I was supposed to go to Coney Island with John Catsimatidis, but I'll tell you later what the real plan is. You and I were just talking during the break, Bernie. We covered this Philip Adams shooting story and the opening of Coney Island in Brooklyn today, but we were just talking during the break. I was glued last night after I watched the Mets win. The Mets cheated, folks, but we won, so who cares? I was glued to Tucker Carlson. And we've said this a million times on this show, and this is by no means disrespect to Sean Hannity or Laura Ingraham, even our good friend Greg Kelly, but Tucker Carlson is so good.
It's must watch TV. I mean, this guy's got the onions the size of beach balls.
He does. His monologues are brilliant. His writing is great, but his delivery, he's so sarcastic.
And so smart.
Smart.
Oh, my God.
So smart. His interviews are great. From the Matt Gaetz thing last week, you and I discussed a couple of mornings, 2 weeks ago, he was all of a sudden in El Salvador doing an interview.
Yeah, he's fearless. Yeah, right, exactly. You never know. He's unpredictable.
Never know
what he's going to open with. It's not going to be the border. It's not going to be the gun control issue necessarily. It's going to be something out of left field. And that one night, there he is in El Salvador with cockatoos whistling in the background and lizards crawling on trees.
That was about the border, but last night I thought he did a really good job of exposing, which has happened a million times already, dating all the way back to our friend Miranda Devine in the New York Post, but really exposing what a creep. And I'm no angel, neither are you. Me a little worse. This Hunter Biden, what a creep. My God.
This guy is a creep. He's a lowlife. He's a complete and total reprobate, degenerate liar. And he's a crook, of course. We know that as well. And while his dad is out there, talking about these gun control measures he's putting forth or whatever the hell it is, which, by the way, wouldn't stop 99% of the gun crimes in this country. 99% of them, they're all handguns in inner cities, illegal guns, but whatever. But while Daddy is proposing all this stuff, Hunter Biden actually lied on an application for his gun. Remember the gun story from last week?
Yes.
Where his his dead brother's widow actually stole the gun. So he lies on an application. That's a felony. She steals the gun. That's another felony. So you have two crimes right there. Neither one of them were charged. You want to start cracking down on gun crimes? You start right there with your son Hunter and your daughter-in-law as well, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah. Talking about some videos and some things that you saw last night on Tucker about Hunter Biden, have you seen any videos lately, Bernard, of a lady named Sydney, not the same spelling as mine, she's S-Y-D-N-E-Y, S-I-D-N-E-Y, Sydney Raines. That sound familiar?
Is that Anthony Weiner's gal?
No. She is a very, very attractive blonde lady. Not my style, but not my type, but very, very pretty. And she is the lady that you see wearing a leather collar with a leash attached to it that Dave Portnoy is walking around his living room.
Right, listen. I saw that story. I do not want to see any sex tape with Dave Portnoy in. I don't want to see Dave Portnoy's ass, all right? I'm sorry. I'm begging you. Let the story go. It was all consensual.
Right.
It's none of our business.
No.
Just leave it alone.
But his stock dropped. His stock on that company, Penn, dropped big 2 days ago.
Well, this guy's doing such good things for small businesses around the country. Leave him alone.
I agree.
He didn't. Yeah. Nothing wrong whatsoever. And I don't want to see him naked.
Well, talk about man ass Chris Maloney, the terrific actor who's back on Law and Order now. His ass is all over Twitter.
Sorry. I mean, it looks like he has pads in there or something. It is kind of, it's gross. It's ridiculous. And I guess it's a nice distraction.
It's a great show, though. Law and Order, Organized Crime. Now 2 weeks in with Maloney. Chaz is in it. Chaz Palminteri. It's a great show. Anyway, we are just about through the first half hour. We've got three great hours coming your way. Three great guests.
He didn't have to wake up, even up all night, lying there in bed listening to his newborn baby cry. Makes a pot of coffee and splashes water on his face. His wife gives him a kiss and says it's gonna be okay. It won't be like this for long. One day we'll look back laughing at the week we brought her home. This phase is gonna fly by. Baby, just hold on. It won't be like this for long.
Darius Rucker, won't be like this for long as we start the 7 a.m. hour on this Friday morning. A Corey Zelnick favorite. There is some breaking news from the Royals. Prince Philip has just died at the age of 99 years old. Prince Philip has died at the age of 99. And somewhere Juliet Huddy is crying. I don't care. God rest his soul.
I mean, you just one more year, you could have made the full century.
Would have been a big deal.
That sucks.
Yeah, it sucks.
Well, I've been watching The Crown, too, I have to admit.
I know you have.
I'm into it. It's odd that a guy like me, my father heard me say this, he disowned me.
Oh, he'd kill you, right.
I'm watching The Crown and enjoying the hell out
of
it on Netflix.
But that's fiction, my friend.
No, it's not.
It's not.
Oh, no.
It's based on the true story.
This is one reason why I really like it. They embellish a little bit. They dramatize it. But for the most part, it is not fiction.
But are you broken up over the death of Prince Philip this morning?
Not at all.
You don't care, right?
No, he's not 99.
I mean, give me a break.
Are you kidding me?
God bless him.
I think the guy served in maybe World War One, perhaps.
Well, no, he was
a little too young for that.
Yeah. How old
World War Two. World
how
War
old
II.
Is Queen Elizabeth?
She's like 94.
94.
could be next.
The reason why I played that song quickly is because this is it's a very annoying thing. And I know you went through the same thing, Bernie, with your two children. I'm sure a lot of you listening right now go through the same thing. My daughter's birthday was April 7th. I brought it up on Wednesday. You brought it up, Bernie. So there used to be a time when on April 7th you would celebrate the birthday. It's not like that anymore. It's birthday weeks. It's birthday months. It goes on and on. It doesn't stop. So tonight, after taking her to Peter Luger on Wednesday and blowing five bills, tonight is her actual party. I got a party bus picking up 15 of her friends, taking them to Harry's Italian on Gold Street down by Wall Street. I got to sit at a table outside and basically spy on Ava and her friends with Danielle and Gabriel. And it just doesn't stop.
Let me just say this. If you've already made the commitment to do it, just do it and enjoy it. And stop. Don't complain about it.
Don't complain about it.
Either that or just say no at the beginning.
Well, I didn't make the commitment. My wife did. I just.
Well, you got to put your foot down, bro.
Okay, right now.
It's How's just, that? I mean, come on. You know, enough is enough. I mean, listen, we got to, you know, you just let's, it's too much. It's too much.
But I will say this, and this point was brought up to me earlier. She's only got one more birthday at home. Next year she'll be 18 in April. Then she goes to college.
Oh, is that how they get you?
Yes. You know, I only have one more daddy, and then I start to cry.
Yeah.
And I fall for it every time.
Okay, I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you.
So if you want to meet us, Danny Potash is a great guy. It's a great restaurant. Harry's Italian, Gold Street by Wall Street. Come on down, Bernie. Have yourself a piece of chicken parmesan.
Maybe I will.
All right.
I'll jump on the LIRR, wade through the homeless at Penn Station, and check out a piece of steak.
There you go.
Look, well, anyway, happy birthday, Ava. Just enjoy it. It's going to be you won't regret it.
No,
you
know, of course not.
You're already in. So
I'm in.
He who regrets is a fool twice. You ever hear that? I saw that on a fortune cookie once. Hey, you know, this is funny, Sid. You know this girl, Haley Jackson, on MSNBC?
Yes, I met her. You know where I met her? Having breakfast in the, I guess you would call it, well, I guess the mess hall, at Hofstra University, the morning of the Donald Trump Hillary Clinton debate that you and I attended.
Right.
She was having breakfast.
She's one of these fake newsers on MSNBC, but she's a nice girl. I mean, whatever. She's nice and whatever. Look, so the other day, this congressman from Florida, Al C. Hastings.
Died.
He died, 84 years old. I think he did some time and he returned to Congress afterwards, but whatever. He's dead, 84 years old. They do a big story on Al C. Hastings. And the whole time they're showing a video of somebody named Congressman Benny Thompson. Now, Al C. Hastings is black. So they're showing this Benny Thompson, who's also black. And, it caused a big uproar. And, you know, because, well, some people said, one person, this congresswoman, this fellow congresswoman, they were ripped as lazy on Twitter and likely think black people all look alike. This is on Twitter. And then this congresswoman, her name is Representative Joyce Beatty from Ohio. She says that Congressman Al C. Hastings served in Congress for nearly 30 years, yet media doesn't have the respect to post the correct image when reporting on his passing. Intentional or not, it reflects a lack of respect. Don't you love it when the woke eat the woke? I mean, it was clearly it was just an honest mistake, I think, right? I mean, nobody was. Are there any racists that those types of racists at MSNBC?
I mean, really?
Remember? They hate us,
right?
They don't.
Right.
I mean, they look, whatever. So anyway, I just like I thought it was delicious. when I pointed out the other day the Excluded Workers Act. That the Democrats in the legislature, the woke Democrats, are eating the liberal Democrats, calling them racist for opposing giving money to illegal aliens.
Yeah.
I thought that was good as well.
Yeah.
But back to the MSNBC story. Remember they did this back when we were there? They actually had a picture of Niger Innes.
Okay. We're not going to play this, are we?
Believe it or not. No, we're not going to play it. It was a graphic. They put two G's
in
the graphic. Yeah. And I caught it. I saw it. It was on their prime time, and I caught it.
Very unfortunate.
And the next morning, I called them out. So they have a history of it.
Then, we were allowed to actually say what the caption read, and no one was getting fired. We were just reading what the caption said. You were able to say it, like Mike Wallace said about you on 60 Minutes.
Yeah, I don't know if I actually.
I think we did. Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah,
I
think
don't.
So. Yeah.
No. Now, look. When
it read it,
NWA. Yes, maybe you could say it, but I don't think you would. We would have said the N-word itself.
I don't know. I think we may have said it.
Okay,
then.
It's possible. Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah. Not because we have no hate or malice.
No, it's
we're not racist.
That was on the screen.
It was on the screen, and nobody would get upset because back then people were more rational. They had a sense of humor. Now it's the way we are today. If you really think it's better, you're a moron. You're a moron. It's not better.
No. It's a lot worse.
I'd rather have people making Jew jokes about me all day long, and you know what? Have a laugh every now and then and move on without canceling everybody being angry, everybody being oversensitive. You can make Jew jokes about me all day long. I don't care.
They made it a lot worse.
Of course.
By the way, it's intentional. They want to divide us. There's a strategy to all this. It's divide us by class, by race, and all that stuff, and take control. Socialists, the communists, believe me when I tell you, this is not an accident right here, what's happening. But Anyway, back to Joe Biden. We were talking before about Hunter Biden. We'll get to him in a second. Joe Biden yesterday, these stupid gun proposals that he made won't solve 99% of the massacres that are occurring in the inner cities. They're all illegal guns. They're illegal. They're possessed illegally by the perps. And this will do nothing to squash any of that stuff. Having said that.
That is the big issue, though, is getting the illegal guns off the street. And Joe Biden and Barack Obama and all these Democrat geniuses that are quick to bring up gun reform when some maniac like Philip Adams kills six people, they have no answer to that. There's no answer.
There is absolutely.
Get the illegal guns off the streets. How are you going to do that, Big Joe?
Exactly. He didn't address that whatsoever. Joe Biden, though, he, again, his cognitive impairment, as they say, that's why I call him a drooling imbecile, Mr. Magoo. He calls the ATF, it's the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Department, and this is what he says.
Today, I'm proud to nominate David Chipman to serve as the director of the AFT.
You hear him?
David knows AFT well.
AFT.
No, he's close.
The ATF.
I know, but he's close.
Listen, I saw him. I watched him. He mispronounced. He talked about the Pulse nightclub. He called it the Impulse nightclub.
No, he didn't.
He called Marjorie Stoneman High School. He called it the Marcus Stoneman High School.
No, he didn't. Stop.
I'm telling you, I watched. Stop. I just didn't put Matt Meany through the hell of going to get the video.
He did one of those three things?
I saw it. I watched it. And we talked about Hunter Biden also. Hunter Biden lied on an application for a handgun. Yeah. Lied. That's a felony. He broke the law. He should be arrested. His sister-in-law, who he was hosing, his dead brother's widow.
Yeah.
She stole his gun. That's a felony. She should be arrested as well. You want to stop gun crime? Look in your own family. But this Daily Mail story broke yesterday on Hunter Biden. He's a skeevy, disgusting, reprobate lowlife is what he is. Those fake teeth that he has, like his dad, he has those fake teeth in his mouth. He, in reality, his teeth were falling out because of,
drugs. Meth.
Drugs, exactly. Yeah. As a matter of fact, here is the Daily Mail reporter who broke this story. It's all over the place. The pictures are out there. But the guy who broke the story, he was on with Tucker Carlson last night, and he described it this way.
One of the first things I came across was a picture of him with two prostitutes on a bed. They're on top of him. There's a dog on the bed as well. There's a photograph of him with what people commonly refer to as meth mouth, which is where a lot of drug use erodes your teeth away. And then there's even a photo of him pulling another prostitute's hair, grinning at the same time.
So this is, and he wrote a book called Beautiful Things, and he's making the rounds, and it's all nice, and it's wonderful.
What do you mean all nice? There's pictures in the, that he put
I know,
pictures
but,
in the book of prostitutes and drugs.
Listen, he's making a mint off this book, and he's getting Anthony Mason on CBS, and the rest of them are kissing his ass. By the way, CBS owns the publishing company for that book, which is why he's, you see him on, I mean, it's all incestuous and half corrupt. It's unethical at best.
Yeah. And again, the big breaking news, you're going to be inundated with this all day long. And if you can't.
Wait. Next, all week, you're going to have this funeral with these gold-plated horse-drawn carriages and all that. Anderson Cooper's going to fly out there, and he's going to be in his glory.
You're going to see people crying in the streets of New York City, which makes no sense to me. But Prince Philip is dead at the age of 99. Good guy, big Met fan, God rest his soul. We'll come back with John Tobacco right after this. Like this, little Don Henley, 7:25 on your Friday morning. Our boss and fearless leader, John Catsimatidis, will stop by at 8:07. We'll talk to Sebastian Gorka from Newsmax, coming up at 8:40. And Lauren Conner with the latest in entertainment news, headlined by me, coming up at 9:25. But with us right now is a friend of both me and Bernie, guy that is running for a serious position here in the state of New York, the pride of Staten Island. Very handsome guy. Looks like a million bucks. I mean, your suit, your tie.
So dapper.
Man. Look great.
I know I was coming to see
listen,
you guys.
He's also,
John Tobacco.
He's a stock trader, a famously successful stock trader, and the host of a Liquid Lunch on
Liquid
Business
Lunch?
News. On Business
like
News.
I've been on that show many, many times.
That's right.
But you stopped inviting me for some reason.
No. You stopped coming on. You got all big. You got on Graves End, and
right.
You got your
that's
new
true.
Studio
that's
in
right.
the corner, and then all of a sudden I say, Jill, get me. Can we get Sid? And she said, no, Sid's busy. Sid's dying.
He blew
but
you off.
But when Sidney wanted to come on every week, he was there. You want to be on tomorrow? You're in. But
is that easy?
I love you guys. I'm listening every morning. I'm a huge fan.
My man.
We love you,
huge fan.
Well, let's start with this, John, because, again, we're endorsing you, which is a blessing and a curse.
Ba-boom.
Yeah.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Bernie and Sid, we're endorsing John Tobacco.
The swoosh. Do we have Lydia to come in with the swoosh, with the breaking news swoosh?
We'll get
I got
yeah, we'll
Bernie
get that.
And
sure.
Sid's endorsement, sure. Just right. Like that.
This is a big deal. We did that for Lee Zeldin yesterday.
Yes, we did.
Don't discount our endorsement.
Hey, listen,
it's a big deal.
We got
I'm
Nicole
a long shot, but I got a better shot than Lee Zeldin.
Oh, you know, I agree with, by the way, I agree with you 1,000%. But getting back to your situation, I always feel like, John, most of the folks listening to this show are like me. Not like Bernie. Bernie's really smart. He knows his politics. Most of the guys are like me. Follow sports, follow TV. They know a little bit about politics. They don't know much. If I grab 10 listeners right now, only 3 will understand what the comptroller actually does. So your job right now is to tell these listeners, if you win, what do you do on a daily basis?
Well, I'll tell you this. There's a reason nobody in New York City knows what the comptroller does, because it's the dirty little secret.
Ah.
Okay, the comptroller actually has, take out the P, has control of all the city's funds. New York City pension plan, all the great men and women and whatever they identify as in the pension plan, they're in big trouble right now because these clubhouse politicians don't know what they're doing. If you have a contract with New York City, it's got to go on the comptroller's desk. If you have a kid with a learning disability and you got to take your kid to another city or another state, you get reimbursed. Those thousands and thousands of families, their checks for reimbursement got to go through the comptroller's office. And the main thing is this. Corey Johnson is one of the leading contenders to be my Democratic opponent, okay? His main thing was defund the police, take away qualified immunity.
He's a jerk.
I'm the son of a cop.
Yeah.
The first thing I'm doing when I go in there is I'm wiping out all the COVID fines that are ridiculous and arbitrary against all the small businesses, restaurants, all my brothers and sisters out there. And then the next thing I'm doing, I'm auditing any department I have to audit until I can refund the police. That's my first and second thing. Business, police.
And that's my question for you. John Tobacco, Republican candidate for New York City comptroller.
That's right.
Are you, as a comptroller, just a rubber stamp? In other words, the city council votes and allocates money. Can you actually veto or stop what they're doing? Or, for example, defunding the police? Reducing the budget from whatever it was by $1 billion. Could you stop something like that?
Bernie, let me tell you. You know, your name's Johnny Tobacco. You went on a 5-year plan to St. John's University. You make it on Wall Street. You build 2 companies and sell them to public companies. You're on national television with a terrible Italian accent. You get things done by hard work, okay?
Right.
And the main thing I have that we all hate is audit power. That's what the comptroller has. So any city agency in the entire New York City, the comptroller goes in and says, this department's under audit. Nothing happens here until I take a closer look at things. Then I get people to the table.
Good.
So the audit power and the subpoena power, where Shirlane McRae was supposed to spend $1 billion to help mentally disabled people in this city. That money disappeared. Bill de Blasio's wife let $1 billion disappear. And her executive director before the city council, they said, where is this $1 billion for mentally disabled and homeless? She said, we have no measurable results.
Right.
So I'm going to go audit that and get $1 billion back, and then I'm going to refund the police.
John
just like
Tobacco.
That.
Ba-boom. With us this morning.
Simple,
by the way,
simple solutions, yep. Common sense.
Common
candy.
Sense.
The website is JT, that's his initials, JT John Tobacco, the number 4NYC.com if you want to donate. JT4NYC.com. You know, I'm looking at you, and you know, all those things, you described yourself perfectly, but your accent is not bad. You're being
silly. Nah, you know, it's not traditional.
No, I know. You do look more like somebody that would shake me down for my giant loss. But on a serious note, I really peg you more for a guy maybe to run for a Staten Island borough president. Why is this your first jump into politics?
Well, look, as you guys know, I kind of stepped in and tried to help bring attention to the overreach of the governor and the mayor with the Max Public House guys in Staten Island.
Oh, you did a great job with that.
Stood up for bars and restaurants, yes. You know, trying to bring the spotlight to how crazy and egregious this was. Watching business owners get arrested to try to sell a burger and a beer. Same moment, Walmart's sending out $720 million in bonuses to their people. Something didn't match up with me. Then I see this poor kid getting locked up. I said, you know what? I'm in. I'm all in. I brought a check. I said, I'm making this bar my TV studio now. I dare you to say you're going to shut down the news. Okay? We're going to buy the bar on the spot. The sheriff would.
That's Max Pub, right?
Max Public House. Yeah. And I started looking at it and saying, you know what? This city is so screwed. And I'm looking at this field of progressive candidates, Democrats, trying to be the next comptroller, which is like waiting to be the next mayor, right? So they're not there to upset any apple cart. And not one of them has any financial experience. I said, you know what? Mayor's sexy. Borough president's sexy. Comptroller's not sexy. But that's where the money is. And I'm going in there. My slogan is, show me the money. What's coming in? What's going out? That's all I want to know, and then we'll take it from there.
John Tobacco, New York City comptroller candidate on the Republican ticket. By the primary is in June of this year, of course. But, John, speaking of Max Pub, there's something going on right now, today. Tell us about that.
Well, we thought we won, and up until now, we've been undefeated. We went to court against the governor and the mayor. Our attorneys, Lou Gelamino and Mark Fonte, have beat the hell out of these guys, okay? They dismissed $35,000 worth of fines like a month ago. And we have a court date today to go in and reopen Max legally. And we get informed yesterday that the sheriff is coming to Lou Gelamino's office, the attorneys for Max, and they're going to reissue fines that were dismissed over a month ago. So this is more intimidation. This is more thug tactics. I call him Don Corleone. He runs the state like a mob boss. He's sending the sheriffs down again to try to threaten us, intimidate us. It's not going to work. In Staten Island, we know what to do with a bully. You punch him in the mouth.
So, yeah, that's right. So you said that you have better chances on the way out here to win than Lee Zeldin. Because it's very difficult for a Republican to win any office, let alone something as big as governor or mayor. Honestly, what do you think your chances are?
I think my chances are very good. I've spent, you know, the last month or so going around the city. I got the most Republican signatures in New York City history. Consensus in all five boroughs. And I'm finding out that Democrats and Republicans alike love this city, and they want to just hear from someone who's not a politician. It's us versus them, guys, right now. Yep. It's us, the non-politicians, the regular folks who have common sense, who know what we're seeing right before our eyes. And it's them, the people that have been ripping us off for the last 50 years, handling the money, handling the city. Us versus them. The one thing people, I think, are seeing to me is I'm with us. I'm with the people. I'm not with them. And Democrats and Republicans alike are like, Johnny T, we need somebody regular. We need a regular dude like you to get in there and just shake things up. Agreed. So that's why I'm going after it. I don't want this. I don't want my whole history dredged to the top, which is already happening. But I don't care. My kids and this city mean more to me than somebody trying to humiliate me. I'm going to win the race because Democrats and Republicans want cops, want safe streets, want safe schools. And that's what I'm standing for.
That is the refunding the police and the Shirlene McRae, what did you do with the money? Those are two winning issues.
Those are real issues. Yeah. Yeah. And nobody's asking. Scott Stringer has his I don't want to curse. His campaign for mayor blows, okay?
Right.
And he should be out there talking about that. Hey, I found $1 billion in Shirlene's Panama bank account or something.
John Tobacco, and again, the website is JT4NYC.com. As you can hear, very, very bright, very successful, and a real New Yorker. He actually cares about the folks on the street. That is your choice for comptroller coming up in June, our good friend John Tobacco. Great spot. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Sid. Thank you very much.
You look great. You literally do. You're welcome. Hey, folks, don't forget to tune in later on this afternoon from 1 to 3 every weekday right here on 77 WABC. Our good friend Greg Kelly does an amazing job, great inside opinions and conversation. It's the all-new Greg Kelly Show today and every weekday, 1 to 3 on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Born a rambling man. Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, ladies and gentlemen, go to WABCRadio.com now and register for your chance to win a WABC Barry House coffee mug. Barry House Coffee, and that's B-A-R-R-I-E. Barry House Coffee is proud to be the official coffee of Bernie and Sid in the Morning on 77 WABC. It is terrific. Register now at WABCRadio.com, and good luck.
All right, big news of the day has Prince Philip. He has passed away at the age of 199. Oldest man ever. Actually looked almost 200.
199.
199, yeah.
That's
yes.
right. He's, yeah. He fought in the Crimean War back in the 1850s.
I think he did. 99 years old. Prince Philip has passed away. So, like we said earlier, we'll be inundated. You're right, Bernie. This will be a week. It'll be a week.
Oh, they're going to have – it's going to be – the pomp and circumstance, yes. Yeah. So you're going to have all these cable news idiots going out there covering it.
Crying. Is Meghan Markle going to go?
You know, that is an excellent question. Yes, they will.
What do you mean they will?
They will.
They hate her.
Absolutely. They'll have to. If they don't go, I mean, they're already in the doghouse, so to speak, with everybody, with the Brits and all that, you know, the royal family. They have to. The guy died. What are you going to do? You're not going to honor.
But what if they don't want her there?
This is the kid's grandfather.
I know that, but let's go back, for example, when Bush died, right?
Yeah.
And he said, I don't want Donald Trump to be at the funeral. She said, but Barbara, somebody said it. He wasn't there. So what if these people really don't want her there? Grandfather or not, they don't want her there. Well, what do you do?
They're not going to.
They're not going to do that?
They're not. No. I guarantee you. There's protocol. Okay. I'm telling you. I'm watching The Crown on Netflix. I know all
you
about
know the whole
this.
Deal,
these people,
right.
They go and they put on a brave face and they're a bunch of phonies, of course.
Right.
You know, in public, but it's such a soap opera-ish, type of environment existence. And we all saw that when Diana and, you know, the
Charles.
Horse-faced.
Camilla Bowles.
Yeah, Camilla, all that stuff.
Oh, please.
We saw it all.
Gross. I think for me, I would get aroused. I mean this. If the day of the funeral, I would get aroused. Harry and Meghan show up, and the driver is Piers Morgan.
How great would that be?
Yo,
that's funny, man. That's funny right there. Yeah, that would be.
Oh, that'd be great. And he walks them out. Piers walks Meghan and Harry out towards the body.
Right. Or at some point, he just confronts them. Will you name who it is? Yeah, I can't do Piers Morgan, but that's good. Either way, you're right. It's going to go on for a week. With the horse-drawn carriages, ceremonies at Westminster Abbey, and then the burial and all this
so
stuff.
So let me ask you this.
It's going to be wall-to-wall nonsense.
I need your honesty, because we're both on the same exact page with this. It's enough already. God. You said earlier this morning, the last thing I want to see is Dave Portnoy's ass in a sex tape, which, by the way, the woman, Sydney Raines, very, very attractive. Very. You said that's the last thing I want to see. Now, let me pose this question to you. An hour later, would you rather watch Dave Portnoy's sex tape 10 times today than the next week of coverage on Philip's death?
You nailed it. You're on fire, my brother. I'd rather see Dave Portnoy's, all that. Some of this stuff with them speaking. Now that I'm into The Crown on Netflix.
Yeah.
I'll watch a little bit of it, you know, just to check these people out. I don't know. The Queen came off as likable.
She is likable.
At least in the first two seasons of The Crown.
Isn't she likable in real life, Queen Elizabeth?
Yeah, she was sort of, she was the most reasonable of the royal family.
Right.
Prince Philip was, he was an arrogant jerk.
No, he was a jerk.
And
Charles is a complete jerk. The worst.
Total.
Total.
And I guess William is okay.
He's fine.
Harry is just a little whipped weasel. I know, yes, he flew a helicopter in Afghanistan. I understand.
He gets credit for that. He does.
Something happened with this kid.
Well, what? Something happened.
You know,
something happened. It's called vagina.
Yeah.
Meghan Markle.
Come on,
grow
up here. You're the man.
I get it.
You're the prince.
I get it. So many years ago, we did a deal at WFAN. Jody McDonald was my co-host on the Midday Show. After you and I worked together on IMUS, it was us. Then me and Jody McDonald, then Mike and the Mad Dog. And we did a deal with Hooters. And back at the time, that was a big deal. Hooters on the Fan, and it was the old address on West 57th Street.
Bro.
Part of the deal was these athletes that were on with me and Jody once a week would have to once a month, make a live appearance with me and Jody at Hooters.
Bro.
So, for example, at the time, there's a great Joe Meningo, Chad Pennington, the quarterback of the Jets. He showed up.
The ginger, yeah.
Marvin Jones, linebacker, New York Jets, he showed up. But the biggest crowd we were going to get, I mean this, it was going to be huge. The fans were going nuts, was a Yankee pitcher by the name of David Wells. The night before, he was supposed to meet Jody, me, and thousands of fans at Hooters, was his birthday. Needless to say, we got there the next morning at 10 o'clock. We waited there with hundreds and hundreds of fans. And guess who never showed up? Because he was still wrecked from the night before.
Well, he had a reputation for that, as I recall.
Back then, he got his ass kicked in a diner.
He got knocked out in Yonkers. I think it was Yonkers.
Yes, a guy named Rocco.
Rocco from Yonkers knocked him out. He's like lying on the floor.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, he's a big dude. And
big dude.
Rocco was just a little
right.
Roided up, Yonkers kid.
David is like a motorcycle guy, big dude,
tough talker.
And he did win two World Series, and he pitched a perfect game here, and Yankee fans loved him. He wore Babe Ruth's hat. But I was so mad at David Wells for years now for doing that to us. But I have to say that as big as a jerk as David Wells could have been, I like him today. I know you like him today.
Yeah.
Why do you like him today?
Oh, well, what he said about Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
I said, I want to hear from some of these players. And that's why, for example, I can't hate Jacob DeGrom. I know the call for a boycott on baseball. I haven't heard any of these players. I know they're reluctant to come out. Nobody's come out of the players that I've heard of that said that they're cool. They're down with this move for moving the All-Star game from Atlanta to Denver. It's just one dude. It's one coward, or this lowlife, Rob Manfred, this spineless, woke corporatist, if you will. So David Wells did come out yesterday. How'd you know this?
That he came out and spoke against the I know everything. What do you mean I know this?
All right.
He was on Brian Kilmeade's podcast yesterday, but I read this in the New York Post yesterday afternoon that David Wells came out.
Okay.
And so I'm never watching baseball again.
Well, this is what he said. Take a listen.
You know, I've had a lot of dealings with Rob Manfred back in my playing days, and I never liked the guy. I thought he was a bit odd. To me, how do you change the games, the dynamics, and hurt a city like Atlanta, who really needs some income in that situation? I mean, Atlanta's a great place to play baseball.
Yeah, good for David Wells. And, at this point, he has nothing to lose, right? He can speak his mind, whereas some of the players, maybe not so much. I don't know. But, look, if you have a 10-year guaranteed contract, maybe endorsements, it would hurt your endorsements prospect, perhaps. But, so David Wells, back in the day, I was glad he got knocked out up in Yonkers. For some sick reason, I love that story.
Well, yeah. It's always fun to see an athlete get their ass kicked, like a big-mouth athlete.
But now I feel totally different.
Now you love the guy.
Yeah, I love the guy. Yeah. I want him to knock Rocco out.
Well, he was a big Trump supporter. Huge.
I did not know that.
Yes. Yes.
Well, that explains his irrational thinking and his pair of onions in speaking out against a travesty, a lie. And again, yes, it hurts the people in the city of Atlanta, the black people that they purport to want to help, all that stuff. And this weasel, Stacey Abrams, it actually came out. She's double talking. She's talking out of both sides of her mouth. She plotted with Al Sharpton to pressure Rob Manfred to move that game. And yet she said, please don't boycott. Remember, I played the tape yesterday. I won't play it again to bore you to tears. You want to play the second half of that tape? Did you cut it down? All right, listen, this is what she said.
Boycotts have been an important tool throughout our history to achieve social change. To our friends across the country, please do not boycott us.
So boycotts are good, but to our friends across the country, please do not boycott us. She's been caught. She looks terrible. It's coming back to bite her in the butt, and I couldn't be happier.
She's got a big butt, by the way.
She got a big old butt. Hey, speaking of which, we're going to have Lauren Conlon, our entertainment reporter. And one of the stories she's talking about is this Khloe Kardashian story, which is good. It's great. Speaking of royalty, these people are American royalty.
Well, they
are.
I mean, listen.
It's pretty sad.
It is. Well, you say it's sad, but, and as successful as Kim and Khloe are, it's the younger sister, Bruce Jenner's daughter, before he became Caitlyn Jenner. She's really the wealthy one. I believe she's the only billion-dollar teenager in the country's history.
You know what? They did it. They took advantage. They didn't do anything illegal.
No.
But she is very, very upset. They put out these doctored pictures of themselves.
I saw. Yeah.
And, of course, they raise expectations for girls who watch, who can never attain the looks that they put out. with these doctored pictures, with these fake, phony pictures. So this real picture was released of her.
It's not very flattering.
She looks like Lena Dunham, for God's sake.
Not that bad, but...
And she's getting killed. She's getting slaughtered. And she writes this: "It's almost unbearable living up to the impossible standards that the public have all set for me." I mean, impossible standards. They're the ones that are raising the standards for all the girls in America here. And yet she's complaining about it. That's what she really looks like now. She's been exposed, and it ain't pretty.
No, because her most recent commercial, I've been commenting for weeks, she looks gorgeous. I've never been a big Khloe fan. I like Courtney. I like Kim. She looks gorgeous, and I couldn't figure it out. Then, of course, I saw this picture in today's New York Post. It made more sense.
So she's being inundated with, health and fitness offers.
I'm sure.
Girl, you don't look good. Again, you're a phony. No, that's the bottom line.
No wonder they found Lamar Odom holed up at the Bunny Ranch.
That's right.
80 bags of Viagra.
Let me get out of here.
Hey, my cab driver, Gene, who drives me to work every morning. I love him. My limo driver, Gene, I should say. He says, "The king and the prince never worked a day in their lives. They are bloodsuckers." And I think a lot of Americans, that are learned Americans feel that way.
He said of the Kardashians or the royals?
Of the royals.
Oh, right.
Prince Philip.
Oh, you can almost say it about the Kardashians.
Same thing.
But yes, no. Well, what they do is they go around, they represent and blah, blah, blah. But he's right. They're parasites.
Yeah, they don't do anything.
They're parasites, and the idea of my blood is superior to your blood.
Right.
I'm superior to you because I have royal blood. I mean, that's so stupid. That's out of fairy tales, I mean, from the past. It's anachronistic, to use a $3 word. The argument against it, the argument for the royal family is that they generate revenue, tourist dollars.
Well, they do.
For
they
the
do.
UK.
That's and then a lot of them do a lot of nice things. Diana with AIDS, that was very, very nice. And as I say this, my daughter Ava, I mentioned her a couple of times today, her boyfriend Toby Jankel, he's a great kid. I love him. You know what? If he slapped a ring on my daughter's finger today, I'll take it. That's how great this kid is. And he lives in Wimbledon, England, and he's been staying with us for the last 9 days. He's coming out for dinner tonight. His family are lovely, lovely people. So he's from there, and when he gets his mom and dad on the FaceTime, all I do is rail on the English. Shave your underarms, fix your teeth, stop at the Queen.
Yeah. I think the French are the underarm people, but
I'm not sure. I thought it was all of you.
Yeah,
no?
So it could be. Could be.
But they laugh it off, so they're fun. They're good people. Toby Jankel.
He's going to be rushing back for the funeral now. He's got to.
He has to?
It's his duty as a subject.
Is that right?
No.
Okay. John Katsimatidis, Sebastian Gorka, and as Bernie said, Lauren Conlin still to come. It's been a great hour and a half. Two more hours to come on the Friday edition of Bernie and Sid.
Hey, drink up, all you people. And order anything.
Beautiful.
Have fun.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid
you
Show.
Happy people.
Nothing like the sound of the voice of
the
Dean
drink.
Martin. Of course, it's Frank Sinatra. Look, we wrap up your weekends here at 77 WABC with Ramsey Mazda's Sundays with Sinatra, expanded to 3 hours every Sunday night from 6 till 9. Joe Piscopo plays the best Sinatra songs combined with great stories and insight on the chairman of the board that you won't find anywhere else. That's right. Ramsey Mazda's Sundays with Sinatra featuring Joe Piscopo on 77 WABC, 6 to 9. Check it out, ladies and gentlemen. Coming up on the Bernie and Sid Show, we have a lot. Our esteemed owner, John Katsimatidis, will join us in the next segment. And then we'll speak also to Sebastian Gorka. Yes, Sean, I think Joe Biden is destroying this. Actually, he works for Newsmax now. He's premiering on Sunday. That's why Sebastian Gorka is coming out with us. And Lauren Conlin at 9:25. We'll talk to her about the Khloe Kardashian's real candid picture and other things. But Sebastian Gorka, of course, we'll talk about, I guess, Joe Biden and his new gun plan, which, by the way, does nothing to solve 99% of the gun violence in this country, as we talked about. And the fact that his son, Hunter, where's Hunter? Hunter Biden lied on an application to buy a gun, which is a felony, and wasn't arrested. And his daughter-in-law, Haley, actually stole that gun. That's a felony. Stealing guns is a felony. And she wasn't arrested, wasn't charged.
Hunter, you're a loser.
So that and the border and all that stuff. It's Sebastian Gorka from Newsmax TV. All on the Bernie and Sid Show.
The drink and the lies on me.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around.
Not only was this one of the greatest shows in the history of television, the great Gabe Kaplan and John Travolta and Ron Palillo, the list goes on, but why I played this song is, you know, this in the open, Bernie, they showed this sign. This sign was on the Gulf Parkway every day forever. And we would drive, my dad would drive me to school on East 22nd and Quentin Road to Poly Prep in Bay Ridge. We'd be on the Bell Parkway. We'd pass this sign that said Brooklyn, the fourth largest city in the world, even though it's a borough.
But yeah, well, right. It was. It became a city, I think, in 1898 or something like that.
I mean, it
became part of New York.
It's such a big deal to see the sign Brooklyn. In fact, I remember taking a picture of the sign Brooklyn when we all drove back from Florida in 2016 when I came here, Bernard, to work with you and made my return to New York City. I'm proud of Brooklyn. That's where I'm from. My mom from the Midwood section. My father from Coney Island, went to Lincoln High School, grew up on Surf Avenue. So anytime Coney Island is in the news, it means a lot to the Rosenbergs. And today is a huge day in Coney Island. The amusement park reopens. Luna Park is open for business. Certainly the ballpark where the Cyclones play. They're getting ready to play there. Guarjulio's is open. It's an exciting day. And when you think of Coney Island, you got to think of our boss, our owner, as you know, Bernie, who owns those two beautiful buildings, Ocean Drive, right on the beach in Coney Island. He is as excited as anybody about today's festivities. And here he is. The owner, our boss, great guy, John Catsimatidis. Good morning, John.
Hello, sir.
Good morning, guys. I'm telling you, I love Brooklyn and I love Coney Island. When I went to Coney Island for the first time in a long time, and I had my Nathan's Franks, and I went to look at that site, and you know, when you go to Coney Island on a sunny day, you know what happens? You fall in love.
You do. You really do.
And I fell in love so much. I spent $400 million there.
That's a lot of love right there, John. So,
A lot of love. But you go into those buildings and you go up, and almost every apartment has a view of the ocean and the beach. And you go up there and you say, oh, my God, this is where I always wanted to live. And you just – and, you know, we have the ability to build three more buildings there, and it's so beautiful. And we got to decide if we're going to spend $1 billion more on Coney Island, or do we spend it in Florida?
Right.
I'd rather spend it in Coney Island.
Yes, please.
Yes, we're both absolutely with you. So today, and again, he's talking about John Catsimatidis, those beautiful Ocean Drive buildings, two now, maybe five. Today, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. And you and I talked a couple of days ago, John, about going to Coney Island together today. Are you going there? Or is there a big?
No, we're not going today. We're going to do another event. It was the last minute, you know, we decided a few days ago, Sid, and I sent you the schedule of all the great things that are happening here today.
Yep.
But we're going to do another event in the near future there because we got to keep Coney Island going. And I'm so happy the amusement park is opening up. I go back to Palisades Amusement Park. Remember those days?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Palisades Amusement Park. Skip the bothering. Skip the fuss. Take a public service bus. I mean, I remember the commercial 50 years later.
Right, and the wooden.
Now, we want to make Coney Island Amusement Park bigger and greater than ever. I talked to Cousin Brucey. We'd love to do a concert there someday soon.
That'd be great.
And
they have that big amphitheater there, which is gorgeous, right, in Coney Island, the amphitheater.
Oh, I think we could do great things in Coney Island, and I think there's rumors around. How do you say rumors? Rumors around that there might be a casino in Coney Island.
Yes.
There's a rumor around.
Let's not forget.
Could you imagine? That could be the – hey, then you have a choice of Atlantic City or Coney Island. I'd rather go to Coney Island.
Not even close.
Take the subway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And plus the aquarium. Let's not forget the aquarium. That's a big
the aquarium, attraction. Yeah. The Mets Stadium that's there now for the Mets minor league team.
The Cyclones, yes, yes.
Yeah, it's just one great – and great food. Now, I'll tell you another secret. We just signed the lease. We're going to open it up in our two buildings near Seagate. We're going to have Nathan's Franks there too. So you don't have to walk all the way down to the other end for Nathan's Franks. You can get your Nathan's Franks right where we are.
Nice. Nicely done. John Catsimatidis, our owner, the owner of WABC, successful businessman, Coney Island today, Luna Park. But John Catsimatidis, we broke some news yesterday on the Bernie and Sid show. Lee Zeldin announced here that he's running for governor. Running for governor. How do you feel about that? How does it affect your prospects as far as a run for governor is concerned?
Well, we're still in it. You know, we're seriously considering it because, you know, sometimes a governorship needs a real businessman to make sure it is common sense and the books are balanced, etc. Lee Zeldin is a terrific guy. I would hate to lose him in Congress because he does a great job in Congress, and he'll be a great senator someday, too. So he has to decide, does he want to govern a state or does he want to run the country?
That's a tough decision. Now, the reason why we think, John, not only because you're our boss and we're friends at this point, that you're a more appealing candidate than even Lee, and we like Lee very, very much, is Lee is a strict Republican, a Donald Trump supporter. You are the one guy, you know, you donated to Bill Clinton. You've been friendly with everybody from Eric Adams to Andrew Cuomo, and of course, you've got tons of friends on the Republican side, too. I really can't think of another candidate on either side, whether it's governor or mayor, who is that bipartisan when it comes to relationships. So our thought is you would have a real chance to win because you would appeal to both sides of the aisle.
Well, a lot of common-sense Democrats still consider me a Democrat. So you know what I've said on the radio publicly? I said I believe in common-sense Democrats, and I believe in common-sense Republicans. And you need somebody to bring both sides together because if you only govern from one side, then we got I can't say the word that starts with an S. You're in deep S.
Hey, you know what, John Catsimatidis, this is really off-topic, but Prince Philip just died. You know, he was born in Greece. You know that, right?
Yeah, very, very sad. I thought he was going to make it to 100. He made it out of the hospital a couple of weeks ago, and he looked like he was going to make it to 100. And it's very sad. You know why? I'm a believer in tradition. I believe in respecting our forefathers. And that's why we did Greek Independence Day. And by the way, you know what we're doing next week? You've heard it here first. Exclusive.
Okay.
We're gonna do next week is Israeli Independence Day.
There we go.
And nice. For all our Jewish people that are listening and for Sid Rosenberg, we're gonna respect our Israeli friends and we're gonna have a few people, the Consul General and maybe Henry Kissinger calling in to talk about how Israel was formed and the future of Israel. And I think respecting them, the best ally that America has in the Middle East, that I think it's a home run for all of us.
Oh, it's going to be a great day. Now, the question becomes, for St. Patrick's Day, you put on a great event, John. You and Margo, the lovely Margo, and Peter King did a great job as the Grand Marshal. Last week, Greek Independence Day, Tony Orlando, who's on every Saturday after Bruce Morrow, he did a great job as the Grand Marshal. Come Israeli Day next week, who's it going to be? Me?
Maybe Sid Rosenberg. Yeah. We'll make the decision today.
All right. That's what I'm talking about.
I think that was a request right there, Mr. Catsimatidis.
Hey, listen, John.
Look, New York is a community of so many people, and that's what WABC stands for, bringing everybody together and having – because we always got along together. What happened with this cancel culture crap? I mean, it's a lot of crap. I mean, enough is enough, guys.
Too much.
We agree, 100%. Yeah. Listen, it's great to have you on this morning, a celebratory day in Coney Island, Brooklyn, folks. Check out those Ocean Drive buildings. They are gorgeous, right on the beach, a beautiful view. And go out there today, enjoy Luna Park, and have a nice dinner in Coney Island. And, John, we'll talk to you and see you later on this afternoon. Great job, as always. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. God bless New York, and God bless Coney Island.
There you go, and God bless you. John Catsimatidis with Bernie and Sid, Sebastian Gorka, and Lauren Conlon, still to come. But coming up next, Lydia Reports on the Friday edition of Bernie and Sid.
This is Lydia Reports on 77 WABC. Here's Lydia Serrani.
And this Lydia Reports is sponsored by LifeVac. One child dies every 5 days from choking. It's a horrible statistic, and your world, it can change in just minutes. As a parent myself, you can protect your entire family with this simple device. Go to lifevac.net, use code WABC for 10% off. Again, that's lifevac.net. Despite what the Biden administration is saying and White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki is saying and many Democrats are saying, there is a crisis at the border, and ABC News is one of the networks actually highlighting what's going on there. Cecilia Vega, she's been very vocal about this. She was actually pressing President Biden during his one press conference and holding his feet to the fire like a journalist should do regarding what's happening, especially to unaccompanied minors at the border. Now, this soundbite I'm going to play for you, it's in Spanish. It starts off in English. That's the reporter. And she asks the migrants, did you come here because of President Biden? And they answer, yes, because we heard a rumor that he was going to help us. And then she also asks them, would you have come here if President Trump was still in office? And they said, no, because he said we wouldn't be welcomed here. Take a listen to hear this exchange.
I ask why they've decided to come now. And their answer strikes at the very heart of this disaster, threatening to derail President Biden's young and very carefully planned agenda.
Posiblemente. ¿Qué saben de este?
Pues se han escuchado rumores de que ayuda a los migrantes.
So she asked those two unaccompanied minors, and once again, we've played the clip before, but you hear it right there. Even though they want to say Pelosi and all these other Democrats, it's from climate change, it's a cyclical, it's a seasonal surge. There it is again. You got the reporters, the journalists, they go right there to the source, asking the migrants, asking the unaccompanied minors. And what was really sad about this 10-minute report, it was actually really good. Remember how President Biden said they're writing down the phone numbers and you just give them a call and you call their relative here in the United States and you place the child with them? They showed a little boy, he might have been 7 years old, and they pulled up his little jean pocket of his little camouflage pants, and already the number was smudged. It's just horrible. And they're sitting in the middle of the desert. I don't even know. It's just, this is such a, it's such a out of control, chaotic situation. And the fact that Kamala Harris thinks it's funny and goes out to get a sweet at a bakery instead of going straight down there, seeing for herself the crisis, is just maddening.
Yeah. Well, Mallorca is going down. The Department of Homeland Security guy, this Mallorca who lies. Mallorca lies, Kamala laughs, and Biden is lost. Is the slogan, but he's going down there without any media today, this guy. So the most transparent administration ever? I don't think so. I think you're making too much of this. Nancy Pelosi says that actually things are okay. Listen.
We're on a good path at the border under leadership of President Biden. We were in a very bad situation under the Trump administration.
We're on a good path, Lydia. What are you
talking about?
What are you blowing this up for?
I know. And I feel like I said this yesterday in my show. Call me crazy. Maybe I'm crazy. I know I'm crazy, but call me crazier that this whole gun control measure is a diversionary tactic because they're getting so much heat of over what's happening at the border. So now they threw out another hot button issue to change the media's attention. And I did. I looked up at all the TV screens. Everybody forgot about the border crisis and they were focusing on gun control measures.
I don't discount that at all. I believe that's very plausible. No way to prove it, but very, very plausible. It did distract us from the border for one day. at the very least. But, yeah, it's a crisis challenge. It's a catastrophe. And yes, Biden invited him up. He incentivized him. And look, in New York State alone, we're going to give $2.1 billion to illegal workers. $2.1 billion. No wonder they're coming in. What, are you kidding me? Of course.
Exactly. They're giving them $15,600. If you are an undocumented immigrant here in New York State, it's been allocated in the New York State Fund to, you know, and you can get the $15,600 if you can prove you were out of work during the pandemic. And if you say you can't prove it, but you can prove some sort of even the littlest bit of documentation, you can then also receive a one-time lump sum of $3,600. So we've got a lot of money to give. Because we raise taxes.
Right, we're broke.
So, you know, there you go.
But you know that message gets back to, Central America, et cetera. Look, they're giving you 50. The streets are paved with gold up in, of course, they're running up here, and that's why, because of Biden, Cuomo, and the rest, all that stuff. Hey, Lydia, that was a great report. Thank you very, very much.
They're packing the country. They're packing the country. That's what they're doing. Like, they tried to pack the courts, and like Governor Cuomo, anytime somebody comes forward, it's like, okay, I'll open it up a little bit more. Oh, I killed 15,000 grandmas and grandpas. Don't worry, now you can smoke pot. And again, this Lydia Reports is sponsored by LifeAct. One child dies every 5 days from choking. Your world, it can change in just minutes. And as a parent myself, protect your entire family with this simple device. Go to lifevac.net. Use code WABC for 10% off. Again, that's lifevac.net.
Hey, thanks, Lydia. Lydia Reports. Lydia News, at Lydia News is the Twitter handle. Of course, she's on at 4 o'clock.
She's on at 4 o'clock. Also on at 5 with John Katsimatidis. And on Instagram, Bernard, at Lydia News. One.
Right, she does a great job. Look, speaking of Governor Cuomo, the theory is that he would have nixed that $2.1 billion to illegals because he's not that woke, he's not that crazy, he's not that radical, but he's neutered now. He's compromised because he doesn't want those people in the legislature to impeach him. So they're like, hey, you better go along with this garbage. So he goes along with everything. He could have said to them, leaned on them, put some pressure, say, I can't sign a bill $2.1 billion to illegals, but he's compromised. And that's the theory as to why he's allowing it. And we'll sign that particular provision into the budget bill, into law. And also, it came out this morning that Governor Cuomo, his aides actually were forced to work on that book. And they put out a statement that the aides volunteered to work on the book. But according to the aides, the aides were quoted saying it was not optional. It was expected to work on the book, which is a misuse of New York State resources. Once again, another potential crime for Governor Cuomo. And speaking of crimes, Sid Rosenberg, over the weekend, and I was hip to this by last night. I was watching this new show on Fox News. It's called Gutfeld.
Yes.
At 11 o'clock.
Yes. How is it?
It's not bad. It's pretty, okay. Well, you know Greg's great. Some of the panelists I'm not crazy about, but he did great ratings opening night, Monday night, which I guess you would expect. Now he's got to sustain them, but it's still a refreshing change. He does comedy. He tries to do some comedy. And anything is funnier than Stephen Colbert, whatever. So anyway, on CNN, and this is where I got it from, the Gutfeld show last night. Over the weekend, CNN put out at their website, CNN.com, this is the headline. The U.S. saw significant crime rise across major cities in 2020, and it's not letting up. And so they go on at 63 out of the 66 largest police jurisdictions. So major increases in violent crime, including homicide, rape, robbery, aggravated assault, both historic and far-reaching, they say. And they talked about the reasons for it was depolicing in major cities after protests, a.k.a. defunding the police, shifts in police resources from neighborhoods to downtown areas because of these protests, and the release of criminal defendants pretrial or before sentences were completed to reduce risk of COVID-19 spread in jails. So this is what CNN.com puts out over the weekend. But remember back last summer when the violence was going on, when crime was spiking, and Don Lemon and Fredo actually mocked anybody who was worrying about it? Take a listen.
Democratic cities are in chaos right now. Is this what you want from Joe Biden? And they're going to take your country away, and they're taking down the statues. And
crime is rising as they defund police.
Oh, my gosh, it's so bad. And they got defunding police. It's like, if you watch a certain state TV and you listen to conservative media, you would think that, you know, entire cities are just, you know, embroiled in fights and fires and whatever. We went out and had a great dinner in New York City tonight. People actually walked up to us and said, thank you for, I watch you every night. I can't believe they thought they had to do a double take at us actually hanging out and not seeing us on the TV screen. But New York City was not, you know, a hellscape, was it?
Not a hellscape, no. See, no. And that's why they're called fake news. Fredo is fake news and Don Lemon is just a piece of garbage.
Oh, God.
All right, so there you have it. CNN contradicting their own anchors months later, buried in a website. But I thought that was a very interesting story. And just, again, exposes these two clowns as the mutts that they are.
We can't do that enough. Thank you, Bernie. That was great. This morning, coming up at 9:40, talking about Bernie, we're going to play Peel the Spoilers Beat Bernie contest, play against the smartest man in New York City, as evidenced just moments ago. Bernie McGurk, your chance to win a $100 gift card, an exclusive WABC, and Barry House coffee mug, all brought to you by Peerless Boilers, our guy Pete Morgan, and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters. Go to PeerlessBoilers.com or PavilionTankless.com for a dealer near you. Remember, Peerless Boilers, they are America's best built boilers. So every week here on the Bernie and Sid Show, usually Wednesdays. Today it's a Friday, of course. Newsmax, our favorite network, where I've hosted, and Bernie and I have both guested many times, provides us with one of their hosts, analysts. We've done them all. In fact, we've got Newsmax great host, Greg Kelly, on this station every day from 1 to 3 p.m. weekdays. So this week we have a great guest. Bernie and I love this guy. He's been on the show many, many, many times. His name is Sebastian Gorka. And he is back on the Bernie and Sid Show. Good Friday morning, Sebastian. How are you, pal?
I am great. Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
you are great.
A pleasure.
Nice to have you back. So, Sebastian, let's start with this, okay? Assuming we didn't know whether you liked the former president or not. We don't know that. We have no idea. You liked Trump. You didn't like Trump. Joe Biden, he's now been in office for the better part of about 3 months. How would you rate his performance so far?
you mean when he's not taking a nap or falling up the stairs?
That's right.
Air Force One.
That's right.
sleepy, creepy Beijing Biden is a disaster. He's been in office, as you say, less than 100 days, and everything's collapsing around our ears. In the history of border control, we've never had 170,000 illegals cross our border in March, and that's just what happened. Last year, it was 30,000 in March. What changed? One thing. My old boss, Donald Trump, left the Oval Office, and now a man who is clearly physically and mentally incompetent has the highest office in the land. Whether it is the disastrous policies he's brought in, killing jobs, whether it is the way that he was treated by China on U.S. soil in Anchorage when they bitch-slapped his chief diplomat.
That's right.
And he just stared at them. He just dribbled at them. It's a disaster. And, you know, I hope that, you know, most of the people who voted for him are getting that wake-up call that this is a man who is in control by the radicals like AOC, and in the meantime is just incompetent.
Yeah, I hope so, Sebastian. Hope we get some relief in 2022 if they don't pass this H.R. 1 nonsense and continue to steal elections. But let me just say this. Sebastian Gorka is on Newsmax TV. He's got a new show on Sundays. This Sunday it debuts. It's called the Gorka Reality Check. And it airs, let's see, it airs at 7 o'clock and 10 o'clock, 7 and 10.
Correct.
And you've been subbing on Newsmax, doing a great job. I've been watching you. You're fantastic. And speaking of the drooling imbecile that is Joe Biden, he actually said yesterday during this gun control nonsense that the no amendment to the Constitution is absolute, is what he said. No amendment is absolute. I mean, obviously he's not running things himself. Somebody's putting this stuff in front of him.
Not only did he say that, Not only did he clearly demonstrate his utter inability to understand what the word constitution means, he also, when he was making his recommendation to put a radical anti-gun grabber at the top of the ATF, he repeatedly, I mean, this is how cretinous or senile he is. He repeatedly, reading from a script, said, AFT.
AFT, right.
AFT? What is the AFT? He said the ATF, and then he went on to say, and there's this gun hole, this loophole in at the gun shows. At the gun shows, you can buy anything. Really? Not the gun shows I go to. Count me in. I want to buy an Abraham tank the next time I go to the gun show. The guy is a joke. He's a clown. Yes, and, of course, yes. He's not running the show.
He is. You can follow Twitter, who's equally as brilliant on Twitter as he sounds right here and looks on Newsmax, at Seb Gorka. At Seb Gorka. So he's looking to enforce these gun laws. We have shootings every day. We had this former NFL player, Sebastian, you know, kill five innocent people in South Carolina yesterday, a former New York Jet. And I don't know, I watch these things all the time, and I always wait, you know, 30 seconds for somebody on the left to talk about gun control. But for me, it's very simple. Crazy kills, no matter what, they're going to find a way to kill. And really the issue becomes the illegal guns. You cannot stop all this madness in this country until you get all the illegal guns off the street. And I got to tell you, Sebastian, there ain't no law in the world that's going to do that.
Well, look, if the laws change reality, there would be no murders in America. There would be no burglaries. There would be no fraud. Because if Joe Biden doesn't realize murder is illegal in America, but for some reason, people still do it, creepy. And to see the Democrats, we had a law enforcement officer murdered 7 days ago. By a member of the Nation of Islam, who rammed him down with his car, got out of the vehicle with a knife before he was shot down like a rabid dog by the Capitol police officers. What was the first thing the Democrats did? What did Ilhan Omar tweet? Oh, and if he'd had an AR-15, imagine how many people he'd killed. To exploit the death of a brave officer like Billy Evans, these people have no shame at all. They are soulless.
No, completely. And they exploited the death of another Capitol officer, Brian Sicknick, by putting him in the rotunda, lying in state, which, by the way, they didn't do for this officer for some reason. I mean, no consistency whatsoever. But we knew that already. They're hypocrites. They're liars. They're really, really bad people. But speaking of the gun laws, also, Sebastian Gorka, a lot is being made of the fact that Hunter Biden, Daily Mail broke this story yesterday. Of course, we knew it before that story broke, the pictures and all the meth mouth and all that stuff. But he had a gun. He applied for a gun, got it, but he lied on the application, which is a felony. Then his sister-in-law, who he was hosing his dead brother's widow, is what he was doing. She stole the gun. So the two of them committed felonies. So if you want to start, controlling guns, start by arresting your son and your daughter-in-law. How about that?
Yeah, we have. I mean, I just retweeted Commissioner Bernie Kerik's tweet from literally 10 minutes ago before I came on the show. He has the photograph. He actually has the documents that Hunter Biden lied on. He has the federal background form that Hunter Biden signed to say, oh, I have no drug problem. If I had lied on one of those federal background forms, we would be in a federal pen right now. This man, why is it a British newspaper that has to give us the truth about a man who illegally sequestered Secret Service protection when he was whoring and smoking crack in strip joints? If your listeners don't believe me, look at the Daily Mail's article. They have the proof. And why is it? I want to know this. This is the real big story here. He's sleeping with his dead brother's widow, who steals the gun from his truck and then drops it in a garbage pail outside a grocery. And what happens? The Secret Service show up at the gun store where he lied about the form to try and cover it up. I want to know who ordered the Secret Service, and I love the Secret Service. They protected me when I worked in the White House, but somebody told them told them to cover for Hunter Biden, and Americans deserve to know who it was.
There's no question. Sebastian Gorka, the brilliant Sebastian Gorka, Newsmax TV on with Bernie, and said, well, you went there, Sebastian. You mentioned a British newspaper, and the biggest story in the world right now is not Hunter Biden.
Yep.
It's not the border. It is that Prince Philip, just about an hour and a half ago, died at the age of 99. We need Sebastian Gorka's opinion. Are you sad? Are you? What is your feeling right now on his passing?
Well, look, I'm a legal immigrant to the United States, but I was born in the UK. I spent the first 23 years of my life there. I had a treasured item. I had a anniversary mug from the 25th anniversary, the Silver Jubilee of Queen Elizabeth's coronation. And I'll just say this about him. In an age of insane political correctness and cancel culture, this is a man who took the back seat, was dutiful, exemplified service to the nation, didn't give interviews to Oprah Winfrey, did his duty. And at the end of the day, the rare occasions when he did, he would sometimes let his wicked sense of humor slip. And man, oh man, Prince Philip was not politically correct. He will be missed. God rest his soul.
Well said. He did serve admirably in World War II in the Royal Navy. I'll point that out. Sebastian Gorka is on the Bernie and Sid Show. He's got a new show on Newsmax TV on Sundays. It's called the Gorka Reality Check. It airs at 7 o'clock and at 10 o'clock on Sunday nights. Sebastian Gorka, let me ask you about this question. You were an advisor to President Trump. Of course, he's been banned from Twitter, but the statements are pretty effective. He's out there. He's vocal. However, Ron DeSantis seems to be ascending, and after the 60 Minutes hit piece on him, I mean, they really, really propelled him into the spotlight, and he looks better than ever. So down the line, 2024, you got people talking about it already. Who's going to run for president? What do you think of that situation? Who would you support at this point?
That's a beautiful segue. Thank you. I will actually be discussing that on my new Newsmax show, The Reality Check, this Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Eastern. Look, you've got to watch the president's CPAC speech again. I predicted he would do it, and he went there. He made the left collective head explode. He said, you know, in 2024, who's going to be in the White House? It'll be a Republican. Who could it be? I tell you what, he's going to make the decision. I hope it is the decision to run. Ron DeSantis is doing an amazing job fighting the deadliest export from China ever, fighting the coronavirus, fighting this fascistic concept of vaccination passports, pushing back on the fake news media. But Donald Trump is as vigorous as he was when I served him in the White House. And at least 74 million Americans want to see him back there. So let's all say a prayer tonight and make sure that my old boss makes the right decision.
All right. We have to go this place, too. We've covered so much here with Sebastian Gorka, Joe Biden, the death of Prince Philip, Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis. I'm going to ask you to make a prediction, Sebastian, because you're a very, 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 very smart guy. Make a prediction for me. Does Matt Gaetz...
Just the accent, guys. Just the accent.
Well, you're right. That does add to it. I'm not going to lie to you. But Matt Gaetz, does he make it out of this alive, or is he going to jail?
Oh, no. Matt Gaetz isn't going to jail. I like Matt Gaetz. I consider him a friend. He's a regular guest on my daily radio show, America First. If you look at what's coming out, the evidence of the texts, the messages from this former DOJ lawyer to his father, the stories of attempted extortion, the fact that this is a story that doesn't seem to have legs, the fact that his staffers, his female staffers came out yesterday in support of Matt Gaetz to say this story doesn't hold water. I don't do predictions, but right now it looks as if the fake news industrial complex, the lying legacy media, is losing this one. And let me just point something out. Why is the media going after Ron DeSantis all the time, doing a hit job? Why are they going after Matt Gaetz? Why did they go after Jim Jordan with spurious accusations? There's something interesting that connects all of these people. Why do they go after Marjorie Taylor Greene or Lauren Boebert? Oh, because they're effective representatives of America First, because they're patriots, because they're doing politics in the mold of the citizen politician like Donald Trump, not the swamp politicians that we're surrounded by here in this fetid city that is Washington, D.C. It's more than just a little coincidence that the people who get hammered the hardest are the people who are patriots. So let's do something that's radical on the left. How about innocent until proven guilty, unlike people like, oh, I don't know, Brett Kavanaugh?
Yeah, or how about a little probe into or a media spotlight on national media spotlight on Governor Cuomo, for example?
Oh, yeah.
But listen, Sebastian Gorka, again, the new show Sunday, this Sunday, 7 o'clock, 11 o'clock. It's called the Gorka Reality Check on Newsmax TV. Last question, the corporate cowards, the Major League Baseball moving the game from Atlanta to Denver. I mean, are we doomed in this country? It seems like the left is really winning at this point. What do you think?
It's up to the corporations. It's really up to the leagues. My producer, Jeff, Mr. G, big sports guy, he nailed it when I asked him live on my show, why is this happening? Because the young generation isn't watching sports. They try to change the rules of the game to make it faster, to, you know, get them off Netflix or YouTube or whatever. It's not working. So what have these people done? What have these scumbags, these managers, these leagues done? They said, oh, okay, well, you don't want to watch sports. We're gonna go to China. We're gonna pander to the biggest communist regime in the world that actually has labor camps. And we're going to pander to the Chinese market. And that's why they're doing what they're doing. Will they realize that these are American sports that were founded by Americans, played by Americans? Who knows? But right now, they're doing the go woke, go broke mantra, and they're going to pay a penalty. Americans are just going to keep switching off.
Well, you just screwed up my plan, Sebastian. I was going to ask you, I've got an extra ticket for the Met game tonight. You want to go with me?
Yeah.
I might be a bit busy prepping for my new TV show. Did I mention that?
Yes, no, it's going to be a great show, and we did mention it. And, Bernie, one more time, Sebastian's new show, what time?
It is 7 o'clock and 10 o'clock on Sunday, the Gorka Reality Check on Newsmax TV, ladies and gentlemen.
Which we love very much. Hey, Sebastian, you're really great. You really are. We love having you on. Stay safe. Keep talking. Have a great weekend. Good luck on the show. We'll talk to you again soon.
God bless you guys and your listeners. Thank you.
You too. Thank you. The great Sebastian Gorka. Check him out, as Bernie said, 7 p.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday night on Newsmax. Still lots more to do. Beat Bernie and Lauren Conlin, Bernie and Sid Foddy edition. Keep it right here.
Thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good happening.
There you have it, Cat Stevens. Before he transitioned to Yusuf Islam. But I think he's a gentle soul. I've seen him interviewed. He may have said some things bad about Israel. If he did, then he is, that is not cool. But Cat Stevens, there he is. Look, Carol Markowitz, she was a guest on the program earlier this week. Splashed all over the front page of the New York Post. She's got a great column. It's entitled, Selfish Unions and Feckless Leaders Have Tortured Our Kids for Too Long. Teachers are vaxxed. The science is clear. Enough is enough. Open the schools! Front page in the New York Post, and she's right about that. And this Andrew Yang, this guy, he came out against the teachers' unions, and then he folded like a spineless, like Rob Manfred, like Drew Brees. He's kissing Mike Mulgrew, the teachers' union's president's ass. And it's really disgusting and sickening. And I hope, for that reason alone, I'm pulling for Eric Adams now on the Democrat side. At least this hour I am. We'll see what happens next hour. And we're going to speak to Lauren Conlin. She'll be talking about this Khloe Kardashian, the picture that got out. About how she actually looks, among other things, ladies and gentlemen, on the Bernie and Sid Show.
Come on, the peace train, the peace train. Hey. Yeah, the big boss man, he likes to crack at whip. I am nothing but a number on his time card slip. I gave him 40 hours and a piece of my soul. Puts me somewhere at the bottom of his totem pole. Hell, I don't even think he knows my name.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show. It certainly is Paycheck Friday. Feels good. Friday in the spring. And, yeah, payday. Hey, listen, we're going to speak to Lauren Conlon at the bottom of the hour. She's the entertainment reporter. She's very, very good. She's fantastic, as a matter of fact. And the Masters is ongoing. It started yesterday. I understand it was Rory McIlroy actually broke his father's leg with a golf ball or something.
I don't believe he broke it, but he managed to hit him.
I know. Yeah, I heard about it. So anyway, the Masters is on. No boycott, no pressure on the players for going to Georgia. No problem, Rob Manfred. No problem. Nobody saying anything. And, of course, a lot of the advocates for the All-Star game to move out of Atlanta are having some remorse right now, including Stacey Abrams. Her and Ass Clown Al Sharpton, they conspired. They put pressure on Rob Manfred, and then Stacey Abrams tried to walk it back. She tried to pretend like she didn't have anything to do with it. Take a listen. Okay, never mind. She said that she said people should not boycott. Stacey Abrams said that. And all right, go
ahead. Boycotts have been an important tool throughout our history to achieve social change. To our friends across the country, please do not boycott us.
Well, the Mets won yesterday, and that's good. You like the players on the team. Steve Cohen, I like Steve Cohen as well. His son served in the Marine Corps, good guy. But he came out and he said he thought Rob Manfred made the right decision. But not everybody agrees. Former New York Yankees player, this David Wells, the pitcher, David Wells, he said this yesterday on, I believe he was on Kilmeade Show. Take a listen.
You know, I've had a lot of dealings with Rob Manfred back in my playing days, and I never liked the guy. I thought he was a bit odd. To me, how do you change the games, the dynamics, and hurt a city like Atlanta, who really needs some income in that situation? I mean, Atlanta's a great place to play baseball.
Yeah, it is a great place. And, again, they were going to honor Hank Aaron. As you know, folks, you've heard it all. They're going to honor Hank Aaron. The city of Atlanta is majority black. They're going to lose $100 million in revenue at the end of a pandemic. After they've been all closed down, these people are all jacked up. And they're like, wow, this is great. We're going to make some money now. And then Stacey Abrams and Al Sharpton pull a rug out from under them. It's just really disgusting. Over nothing. Over a big lie, of course. We've been over that all week long. By the way, the number here is 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Also, this teacher in New Hampshire, he was the track coach, maybe a teacher also, but at a high school, and he was allowing his students to run outside without wearing a mask. And even the CDC says that it might be difficult to breathe if you're engaged in a heavy exercise. Now, they're outdoors, they're running, and he says you don't have to wear the mask, and they fire him. They actually fired the teacher up in New Hampshire, and he's like, I don't care. I think I did the right thing by my kids, but he's gone. And YouTube banned a Governor Ron DeSantis. We talked about DeSantis with Sebastian Gorka last segment. He was sitting in on a roundtable, was Governor DeSantis, and they were talking about the need for kids to wear masks in schools with a doctor and a couple of other people. Anyway, it was banned from YouTube. This is what it was. Listen.
Dr. Gupta mentioned about, you know, not putting masks on kids. That's not effective, not necessary. Martin Calder, do you agree in school there's no need for them to be wearing face masks?
Children should not wear face masks, no. They don't need it for their own protection, and they don't need it for protecting other people either.
Now, that video has been banned from YouTube because that's what a doctor, a medical doctor with a license, said to Governor Ron DeSantis. It's just been banned. Also, this guy, Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, same thing. He's been banned from YouTube and other Twitter platforms. Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, he was part of the Great Barrington Declaration, which said that lockdowns are stupid and counterproductive. He said the same thing, and he got banned. Listen to what he said.
How do you teach a child to read with face masks on Zoom? Children develop by watching other people, and I think it's developmentally inappropriate, and it just doesn't help on Z spread. I think it's absolutely not the right thing to do. There's vanishingly few cases, even in contact tracing, that have identified outdoor spread at all. But frankly, the safest place to be if you don't want COVID is outdoors.
There you go. And he got banned for that. I mean, make common freaking sense from DeSantis, from all these doctors. And it gets banned. In other words, it's a diverse opinion. It's another person's opinion. And based on science, by the way, and they ban it. They ban it. That's what they do in this country. You get censored. Look, also back to the situation in Georgia, where essentially they're saying that black people they're incapable of obtaining IDs. And anyway, yesterday, Lydia on this show here, Lydia Reports, she actually played some tape of a reporter asking African Americans if they carry IDs, and it was amusing. Take a listen.
Do you have an opinion on voter ID laws?
Yeah, they're usually pretty racist. I think voter ID laws are a way to perpetuate racism.
Would you go as far as say those laws are racist?
For sure.
Do you think it suppresses the African American vote?
Definitely. Because they're less likely to have state IDs. These type of people don't live in areas with easy access to DMVs or other places where they can get identification.
Do you think that's harder for black people to go online?
Well, IDs? I feel like they don't have the knowledge of how it works.
Wow. There you woke little students on campus, the most racist people. They're sheltered. They live in a bubble, obviously. And anyway, there was more. A reporter asking these white liberal college students. Take a listen.
Do you carry ID?
Yes, I do.
Do you know anybody any black person doesn't carry ID?
Take it. Stop it. These are black students?
Yes, these are the African Americans.
Okay, go ahead. Play it.
Do you carry ID?
Yes, I do.
Do you know anybody any black person doesn't carry ID?
No.
Do you have ID?
Yes.
Because I have my ID and my friends have their ID, so we know what we need to carry around.
Everybody that I know have ID. Like, that's one of the things you need to walk around with New York with.
I heard a lot also that black people can't figure out how to get to the DMV.
Really?
What does that say to you?
I know it's that. It's on 25th Street.
Do you know where the ID, the DMV is right here?
It's on 125th Street and 3rd Avenue, I believe.
That's funny, man. I mean, obviously. So the big lie exposed. We know who the real racists are. And did you hear this, Sydney, that Rory McIlroy broke his dad's leg? He teed off, and the golf ball hit him in the knee, and he busted up his kneecap and stuff like that.
He didn't break it, though, did he? This was yesterday, you mean, at the Masters?
Wasn't he rushed to the hospital?
Yeah, I don't think he broke it, though, but he did hit him. Very, reminds me when Imus teed off at one of the Stephen A. Cox tournaments and went to hit the ball and had this really long, vicious swing. And the ball went about 3 feet and hit some lady in the face.
No, not some lady. It was Stephen A. Cox's mother.
Okay.
Yeah. I swear to God.
Even worse.
I swear to God.
That's even worse.
Oh, I know. And he hit her, like you say, in the face.
Right in the face. So, no, but yeah, I know that his father was, had to be taken from the course.
He didn't.
He died?
I think, they're having the funeral on Monday.
Well, you know, it's funny. Bo Dietl just sent me a text. And Bo is on the set of Gravesend right now. He's filming his scene today.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
I saw him in the first, I think he was in the second episode, actually.
He was. Second episode. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. I've seen the three out of the four. They're four, right?
Yeah. The fourth and final one's the best one. But of course, the episode you saw, he plays the guy that runs the bookie room.
Right.
He's in charge of the room.
It looked like a boiler room.
Right.
Boiler operation.
Well, Sheep's Head Bay. So he's, filming right now at the same hotel that I filmed at on Monday in Miami this morning, Gravesend. So he actually sent me a text. He said, by the way, I filmed with Dice. Dice's last day of filming is what's Wednesday. Dice is back in Los Angeles now. But Dice is going to join us in Brooklyn in June. And he said, Dice loves you. I said, did he say really say something to you? He said, Sid, he raved about you.
Oh!
He said he loved you. Yeah. He's going to come in studio with you and I.
I look forward to that.
Yeah.
I saw that you posted a picture yesterday. You're holding an umbrella.
Yes.
What are you, like his...
I'm his bodyguard.
Bodyguard.
Right.
Okay. And the other chubby guy is holding
Chris for William DeMeo.
Umbrella over DeMeo. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was the only scene I didn't speak. I had very long speaking scenes in the billiard hall, on the tennis court. That specific scene, which was the most difficult to shoot, because the umbrella weighed about 10 pounds. I'm not kidding. It was incredibly windy, and it was blowing the umbrella backwards, and it was about 83 degrees and sunny, not a cloud in the sky. And we're wearing long pants and long shirts on the beach. And we must have shot that scene, Bernie, no exaggeration, 20 times. We were dying. We were hot.
See that?
It was brutal.
You thought it was being an actor was...
Not all the glamour.
Right.
But Bo actually texted to tell me, not just Dice loves you, that he's watching TV on the set in Florida. They're on a break. And somebody down there just actually compared the importance of the death of Prince Philip to that of the death of DMX. Put it in the same breath. Like, in other words, two great losses today, DMX and Prince Philip.
Now, you just broke news to me. I didn't know DMX died.
He didn't either. Because if you read today's paper, they said he died yesterday.
He's on life support.
But that's what his agent said. He's not dead. He's on life support.
They haven't pulled the plug.
They reported yesterday that he was dead. But I guess now they're reporting somewhere in Florida. In the same sentence, two great losses today, Prince Philip and DMX.
I think it's comparable.
Oh, get out of here.
DMX, by the way, DMX came up with the great line, your ass is about to go missing. You know who's going to find you? Some old man fishing.
No, you're missing my point. I agree. DMX is much bigger than Prince Philip. Lauren Conlon is next, bitches. Get done with, jump quick. You gonna poke the dog with some bump. All right, folks, we need a contestant for Peerless Spoilers, Pete Morgan, Peerless Spoilers, Pete Bernie, which comes up next segment. We'll take a contestant right now, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Your chance to compete against the smartest guy in New York, and that is my main man, my buddy, my partner, Bernie McGurk.
Well, thank you, but that's just not true.
It is true. Yeah, it is true. What's also true is that nobody does a better job of covering Hollywood. Not Mario Lopez, not Billy Bush, none of them.
Aw, you're
Lauren
so
Conlon.
Nice
it's true.
To me. Oh, my goodness.
It's true. Red Carpet Rendezvous, Lauren Conlon is here this time. Every Friday morning.
I am so happy to be here, even though I am sort of feeling like a hot mess express. If you will, I don't know. My kids have not let me sleep this week at all. Yeah. I don't know, but has there
you
been
said
a full moon?
The same
moon?
Thing last week.
Yeah, right. No, they're, you weren't here last week, so I did not say
the
that.
The week before, then.
So the week before, yeah. So, no, they
got
are
you there,
not.
Bro.
I did, because yeah. they, last week I felt like they were pretty good. This week they're not letting me sleep, so I'm having a hard time.
You gotta put something in the, you know,
oh,
in
some
cereal.
Some whiskey. And
yeah, something. Melatonin,
okay.
Maybe.
I mean, maybe when you were raising your kids in like the 1800s, Bernie.
1800s?
Oh.
No, what they did, what we would use is, what do you call that stuff? Benadryl.
Benadryl.
Knock the kids out.
No,
right,
I feel, yeah. Oh, that's not a thing anymore.
No,
you,
not
you
anymore.
Can't, you
right.
can't really do that
right,
now. But I
right.
will say, Sid, you made my day.
Why?
Because you literally this morning asked me if I was 28 years old,
I thought
and
you were.
I wanted to kiss you.
No, I
so
thought you were.
That was the best thing that I've ever heard in my entire life. So, yeah,
I really thought you were 10 years younger than you are. I swear to God.
Okay, wait. Now you're aging me.
Oh my God.
Oh, I did. I just gave it away.
To punch you.
I just gave it away. Yeah.
You wait. I'm not 38.
Well,
all right, everybody. I am not 38. But anyway,
now you're age shaming.
Guys,
what's wrong with being 38?
I'm not age shaming. I want to talk to you guys about a lot of stuff today because there is a lot of stuff going on in the pop
well,
culture world.
It.
Let's get to it. So I said a few weeks ago, I actually do not care about the Kardashians, and I stand by that. However,
I do.
You do. I know you do.
Oh, okay.
So, but I will say this, the picture of Khloe Kardashian that was leaked, unedited, unfiltered, and the Kardashians threatened to take legal action if people didn't take it down and blah, blah, blah. That to me was very interesting because Khloe looked amazing. So if people haven't seen this image, Google it. Khloe Kardashian, unfiltered photo, whatever. She's
Wait,
in this
looked
bikini.
Looked amazing in today's New York Post?
She looked amazing in this bikini photo. Okay, the lighting was bad.
Oh, my
she looked,
God.
She looked amazing. Now, she took to her Instagram to say this,
do you
right?
Think, do you think well, Lena Dunham looks amazing?
I mean, what are you saying? Looks
I'm
amazing.
Just, I'm just
Lena
curious.
Dunham,
what are your standards?
She looks terrible.
Are we talking Khloe or Lena?
Khloe looks terrible.
I mean, Lena.
She looks. Okay. Khloe looks out of shape.
What?
Oh, she looks terrible.
Oh my gosh. Okay, wait.
Terrible.
So this is the thing. My whole thing with Khloe is that Khloe said, "I worked so hard for this body. It is my
well, it's
right.
Not working.
It is my. You are
go back to work.
You are nasty, Sydney.
I gotta
oh,
be
my
honest.
Goodness.
Let me frame it this way, Lauren.
Okay.
Khloe Kardashian, what she's doing is girls who look like her.
Yeah.
By expressing all this outrage that the photo was out there,
mm-hmm.
she's body shaming girls who look like her.
So you obviously did not read her Instagram post.
I did. In fact, I'll read it for you right here. She
okay.
says, it's almost unbearable living up to the impossible standards that the public have all set for me. No, that she set for herself.
No.
With all these airbrushed photos.
Sure. I totally understand that. I think what she's saying and what she did say is she's just asking to be acknowledged as a human being, which
quiet.
Is not so
be
bad.
Quiet.
What? How?
Be
how
quiet.
Is that?
She wants $1 billion for makeup and hair.
I agree
and
with you.
So no. You lose. Here's how it works in the real mm-hmm. world. Okay, you lose the privilege of being treated like a regular person. And
okay.
Her whole industry is
okay.
beauty. It's not like she's smart. It's not like she's an actress. Her whole industry is beauty. Her body.
Right.
Her face.
Yeah.
She's a hot mess. Not you. She's a hot mess in the post
yeah.
today. So you know what? Now you got to be accountable.
Okay.
Live up to it. Because you know what? She's lying to young kids out there.
I agree with everything. I agree with everything you just said. You are right. In a way, she signed up for this. She is beauty. She is reality. You know, when you are a public figure, you do sign up for this ridicule. However, yeah. You are still a human. It still gets to you. That's my whole point.
Well, I can get to all she wants.
That's what I mean. It still gets to you no matter what.
So you feel bad for her?
I did not necessarily feel bad for her. I thought it was interesting. I was like, you know what? This is interesting because I don't know if you guys heard 2 weeks ago, the actor Rami Malek, you know, the Oscar winner, Rachel Bilson put like a photo up of them from high school where he didn't look great. He looked a little chubby. You know, high school, we all look a little weird, a little awkward.
Yeah.
He asked her to take it down. Like, not in a nice way. Well, he basically was like, I look awful. And then she went on a podcast and she was like, I was really disappointed that he was kind of like
that. He's not a good looking guy. He played Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, but it's also like, get over yourself. It's high school. It's like, laugh at yourself a little bit, you know? Like,
I agree.
Like, yeah. Well, I was
same
disappointed.
Same with Chloe. Chloe's a fraud who, again, is fat shaming girls who look like her.
Okay. We'll leave it at that. You know, we'll leave it at that. I want to ask you guys about if you saw the Dave Portnoy.
We won that case.
Check you know what? I'll give it to you. You won. Sure, you won. And I will say that I still don't actually care about the Kardashians. So anyway, so Dave Portnoy. Barstool Sports.
Boy.
Yeah. Dave has...
It's Sidney Rails. That's the story here, not Dave Portnoy.
Well, yes. Okay. So what I thought was interesting is that after this sex tape was released with Dave Portnoy and Sidney, you know, the Instagram star, Penn National Gaming, it plummeted the stock.
Yes.
And Dave was like, you know, this is crazy. How does this happen with a consensual sex video that all of a sudden the stock plummets? And I actually don't understand that either.
Well, I agree.
Can you guys explain this to me? It's weird.
It was consensual sex.
Yes,
she's a beautiful girl.
Mm-hmm.
But she's wearing a dog collar. He's got a leash on her.
To each his own, Sid.
Listen, I'm okay with it, but if you want to know why, people were a bit shocked by it. It wasn't just him and her missionary position in the living room. It was
the dog
collar. It was a bit freaky.
In other words, she was very too submissive, in other words, for 2021 or something like that.
I mean, you ask me, I'm going to buy that stock real quick. If I see the dog collar, I'm like, oh, cooler than I thought, Dave.
Not only that, Dave Portnoy does such good work for small businesses and all this stuff.
I find him a little bit irritating. He's a little cocky for me, a little arrogant. It's a little too much, but oh my God, Bernie's pointing to Sid right now.
What are you talking about? Don't insult my boy.
He's got like a kind of frat bro vibe.
Total frat boy.
Right.
So he's kind of annoying in a way where I feel like he just thinks he can pull any girl he wants, and sadly, he probably can. You know,
when you're worth millions these days, you know how it works.
I guess. I wish we could move away from that, you know? I wish we could. Ladies, let's move away from that.
Yeah, well, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
It's the way of the world.
I know.
Sadly.
I know. And, you know, I don't know if anybody watched the SAG Awards this weekend. Did you watch them? They were actually very entertaining. You didn't. Well, Sid, you were busy filming.
That's true.
You were very busy. And this is funny. The pictures you're posting, just to go to that a little bit.
Yeah.
I would never mess with anybody that you were on set with. I was like, if I'm ever in trouble or someone is threatening me, I'm calling all those guys. Those guys would literally kick some major ass.
Well, you know, I still don't know outside of Dice and Armand, who are actually famous actors.
Mm.
I have no idea if those guys on the set were actually really mobsters or actors. I have no idea.
Wait, that's actually very funny.
I'm sure some of them are real. You know, DeMeo's friends from back in the hood.
Yeah,
and some of them are legit actors.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's Gravesend. I've watched this show, and it's pretty good.
No, it is good. I watched the first episode. I'm going to catch up so I can watch Sid in it, but I saw these pictures, and I'm like, man, these guys are huge. And they're a little scary. I mean, right? They're a little scary.
Yeah.
So I love Andrew Dice Clay. I actually loved him in A Star Is Born when he played Lady Gaga's dad.
He was amazing in that.
That's actually my favorite role of his, where he's not necessarily a mobster.
It's not like Ford Fairlane or those were silly.
No. But I really like him in that. He's very likable.
He's a very, very nice guy.
He's got range.
He does.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of range.
Totally. But no, the SAG Awards, I was excited because I think that this is sort of what we have to look forward to for the Oscars. So four people of color all won the acting awards, and that is SAG Award history. So that's amazing. It was Viola Davis, Chadwick Boseman, God rest his soul, Daniel Kaluuya, and then Ye Jung Yoon from Minari. They all won the acting awards, and I was so happy for them. I think they all deserve it. Even though I will say I am really rooting for Anthony Hopkins for Best Actor, I am, and from The Father for the Oscars.
Yes. So he's too white. It's not going to happen.
He's too white, you think?
Yeah, he's too old. He's old white man. He's not going to win.
Didn't he win for Hannibal?
He'll be nominated.
I mean,
he may be nominated.
No,
but
he is nominated.
Oh, he is nominated.
And he's my pick. If you watch The Father, he is. he's better than I hate to say it. I love Chadwick Boseman, but he is a little better.
Yeah.
In this role.
But you got to give it to Chadwick because he's dead. So.
Oh, Sydney.
The guy died. You got to give it to the dead guy.
You don't have to. He didn't win the Golden Globe for
that's
it.
Another box.
You know? Jeez.
We got to check all these boxes. God.
Did he win for Hannibal Lecter? Silence of the Lambs? I forgot. I know Jodie Foster.
I don't remember. I don't think he did.
He didn't win?
No, okay. I don't think so. Right. I have to go look that up. But yeah, no, I don't.
So you broke up about Prince Philip?
Yes. No. You know, I don't care about the Royals, but I'm very sorry for their loss.
Again, another old white guy because he died.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry for their loss.
We don't care about the Royals either.
No, but
he lived. Can you imagine living 100 years?
Oh, I mean,
I don't want to live to like poop my pants. Like, I just want to say that. I don't know. Just kill me before then.
Euthanize me. Absolutely.
Do you poop your pants at 99?
I do it at 53.
Okay. That's cool.
But it does provide you with a valid excuse to go out with John Tobacco and Frank Morano and get drunk this afternoon, which you guys do anyway.
Who, me?
So. Yes.
Wait, pooping my pants? No,
you can get drunk, then poop your pants. So, yeah. Hey, Lauren, you're great as always. Yes. Thank you so much. Everybody, that's the great Lauren Conlon. You can follow her at Lauren_interviews on Instagram and Twitter. And, of course, check out her really good podcast. Topher Grace is on this week. Red Carpet Rendezvous with the lovely Lauren Conlon. We'll play Beat Bernie coming up next.
Now, it's time to Beat Bernie.
It's time to Beat Bernie.
Sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters.
You think you can beat Bernie?
Good luck.
It's time to Beat Bernie.
Let's play the game. Bernard is out of the studio. Let's meet today's contestant. He's from, you say, East Hanover?
Correct, New Jersey.
Yes. He's a retired NYPD officer. Mike from New Jersey. Michael, good morning, pal. How are you?
Good morning. That's New Jersey State Police, Sid.
New Jersey State Police. It says NYPD. Doesn't make any sense. You're making more sense. Well, thank you for your service, Mike. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I love the state of New Jersey. It's a wonderful, wonderful place. All right, you listen to Bernie.
Beautiful.
It is a beautiful state.
Listen.
Yeah.
Listen to you every day.
Every day. Well, thank you for doing that, Michael. Thank you.
Greatest show around.
Thank you, buddy. Are you ready to play today's game?
I'm ready. I hope I don't embarrass myself.
Nah, come on. You're going to be great. Here we go. Here's question number one. Mike from New Jersey. A photo of the flag raising on what Japanese island was used as a model for the Marine Corps War Memorial at Arlington? What island?
Iwo Jima.
Yes. Nice start. Very good start, Mike. Next up. In September of 1993, Yitzhak Rabin unenthusiastically shook which Palestinian leader's hand to seal a peace deal on the White House lawn?
God, I can't think of his name.
All right, one second.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. His name was Yasser Arafat.
That's him.
Number three, on an alphabetical list of the Declaration of Independence signers, who comes between Lyman Hall and Benjamin Harrison? This name you always use. I'll give you a hint when you sign anything.
Hamilton.
Oh, no.
Wrong, you two-legged back of anthrax. You'll be Jesus.
John Hancock. They always say, give me a John Hancock. You know that. All right, number four. What board game sold by Parker Brothers in 1935 was created to explain the single tax theory first? It's a money game. You know this game. Come on, you buy stuff.
Monopoly.
Yes. Finally, chance to go 3 out of 5. Many of West Point's original fortifications were designed in 1778 by what Polish general who had a bridge named after him that connects Green Point in Brooklyn to Maspeth in Queens in 2017? What bridge is that? You know this. Come on. Long Polish name.
I don't know, Bernie. That's Sydney. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Wrong, you two-legged back of
it is the Kosciuszko Bridge. The Kosciuszko Bridge. All right, you got two right, Mike. Not bad. It's a difficult game today. We're going to put Mike, a hero, Jersey policeman, on hold, and we'll bring back Bernard, see how Bernie fares, and Mike will have a chance to talk to Bernie once Bernie is done. 2 out of 5.
Not bad. I got to say, the Hamilton guess, I didn't realize how tricky that question is going to be.
It is tricky. No?
Yeah, it is. It's tricky.
All right. Bernie, you ready to go?
Wasn't that Run DMC?
Yes, tricky, tricky.
It's tricky.
Three right and you win, okay? Three right.
All right.
Here we go. A photo of the flag raising on what Japanese island was used as a model for the Marine Corps War Memorial at Arlington?
Staten Island. Yeah. Iwo Jima.
Right. Bernie, in September of 1993, Yitzhak Rabin unenthusiastically shook which Palestinian leader's hand to seal a peace deal on the White House lawn?
Yes, sir, Arafat.
That's right, with Bill Clinton. On an alphabetical list of Declaration of Independence signers, Bernie, who comes between Lyman Hall and Benjamin Harrison? I'll give you the same
hint. Yeah, I know, I got it. Yeah. It's Hancock.
Yes.
John J. Hancock.
You've already won today's game, Bernie, but let's see if we can go perfect again.
Don't beat me on that, all right?
What board game sold by Parker Brothers in 1935 was created to explain the single tax theory first?
I'd have to say Monopoly.
Yes. Yes. How much is a hotel on Park Place?
I don't know.
Boardwalk. 2000, I believe. Finally, many of West Point's original fortifications were designed in 1778 by what Polish general who had a bridge named after him that connects Greenpoint in Brooklyn to Maspeth in Queens in 2017?
General Patton. No, it was, some people pronounce it Kosciuszko, some people pronounce it Kosciuszko.
There it is, a 5-for-5, another perfect performance by my partner, the brilliant Bernie McGurk. He beats Mike by a final score of 5-2 today. Mike is a retired New Jersey police officer. Bernie, say hello to Mike.
Hello, Mikey, on the Bernie and Sid Show.
Hey.
Thanks for playing.
Hi, Bernie. How are you? As usual, you're right on.
Hey, I just got lucky, I guess, again. Look, my brother-in-law, ironically, he's Polish, and he's an iron worker. He worked on the new Kosciuszko Bridge, which they just refurbished a couple of years ago. I don't know. There's some irony in that, no? Or something?
Yes. I've been over it a couple of times, but I couldn't think of it today.
Oh, yeah, right. You see, when you're on the radio, you're on the spot. I even get that way sometimes sitting here. I sit here all morning long. But I'm sure it's tough for a guy, Mike, when you phone in. So you retired NYPD. Where in the New York City did you work?
No, it's New Jersey State Police.
Oh, I'm looking at this the call screening board. New Jersey State.
I did the same thing.
Oh, yeah. You guys are tough. You guys were really tough. I was afraid of the New Jersey State Police whenever I... You guys are really like Marine Corps drill instructors, for God's sakes.
Yeah, quasi-military.
Right. But you sound like a very nice guy, Mike. So I'm sorry you didn't win, but thanks for playing.
Well, you guys are great, and I'll keep listening forever.
Thank you, Mike. There he is, Mike, Hero Cop, New Jersey, playing Beat Bernie today. And we'll close it the way we always do, folks. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222, any topic you want, whatever you want to talk about. Your chance to talk to Bernie and Sid before we close out another amazing week is coming up next.
Beat Bernie, sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters on 77 WABC.
You know, first of all, I love this song. Play a little of this. This is the other stylistic.
Come on, sing along, bro. Let me hear you sing. Come on.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Why not?
Because I can't sing like this guy.
Can you? No, but I don't care.
You don't care?
Let's go. Me and you together.
To tell you how I feel, my love.
Come on,
you're good.
In.
No, you're doing great.
I'm not good at all.
You're actually good.
You're actually embarrassed to do it.
Because I only do Sinatra, not the stylistics.
I'm shocked, actually.
I know.
That you're shy.
I actually turned red in the face.
You're blushing right now.
I am. Precious love. Hey, do your promo. Then I gotta do something.
All right, let me do this. On a drive home today at 5 o'clock, John Catsimatidis at 5 o'clock. Catsimatidis has the information you need from the newsmakers themselves.
All right, then.
He covers it all and has his pulse on the big stories. Get the truth today at 5 o'clock with Cats at Night on 77 WABC.
All right, Bernie, here's the WABC. Oh, I like this part.
Only you.
There we go. Oh, I love this.
Can when I need it all.
found a booger on the microphone, like an old one from Curtis, like 3 months ago. Here's the best part. You ready for this? I'll jump in with you now.
This song is for
Johnny,
you.
Johnny, jump in.
And
Sarah.
With gratitude and love. God bless you. You made me
the feel WABC radio brand question of the day goes like this. Do you think undocumented immigrants affected by the pandemic in New York should get $15,000 in state aid? Really? This is the question? Yes? No? Have state legislators lost their minds? Actually, there should be a choice out of A and C. Anyway, as Donald Trump once said, I'm getting tired of winning, Bern. I'm getting tired of winning. And you say, why is that? I get to work next to you every day on one of the most important, maybe the most important, morning show in the country. I just spent 4 days in Miami shooting a very popular television series, of which I will shoot again in Brooklyn coming up next month. And moments ago, from my author, Christine Lenzo, love her, I received the treatment, which she will be sending to 5 major publishing houses today.
Wait, you
for
said
my upcoming book.
From your author, meaning
yes.
Your publisher?
No, my author.
She's your author? What does that mean? She's just ghostwriter?
Well, it's not a ghostwriter. Like when I wrote my first book, The Biography, You're Wrong and You're Ugly, Paul Schwartz was the author, the guy who covers the Giants.
Okay, all right.
But I would speak to him every day. This book is about me and my dad, and much like Tim Russert's book about him and his father, and Christine is writing the book. We've already had a couple of phone conversations.
I got it, okay.
So the treatment just arrived, which publishing houses will see today, and this is the first step, as Bill O'Reilly will tell you, into getting your book published. And before you know it, you can watch me on Netflix in October and see my book at Barnes & Noble maybe in December.
How do you like that? So it's sort of like O'Reilly and Martin Dugard.
Same thing. Same exact. Dugard does all the Killing series.
He does, He does I guess they work and they collaborate.
Right. So the book would say, written by Christine Lenzo and Sid Rosenberg. My first book, written by Paul Schwartz and Sid Rosenberg. So that's
wow, look at you.
Isn't that unbelievable?
I just got it. Forget Coward Stern. You are the king of all media, bro.
I don't know. Things are going okay right now. We'll see what happens. Here is Franny, Bernie, Connecticut, line 5. Good morning, sweetheart.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, good. You?
Hey, Fran.
I'm doing great. I'm a teacher, and, well, we're off this week because of spring break, and I just wanted to call in and say that I've been listening to Bernie for close to 30 years. And I really believe in everything that you guys are saying. And there's plenty of us who feel that same way.
Well, it's good to hear. We some affirmation from one of our listeners, loyal listeners. Franny, you're great. We appreciate that. Thank you. We try to speak the truth as mandated by John Katzmatidis to us. And apparently Franny likes it as well. And
thank you, Fran.
And that's what we do.
That's it.
We give you the unvarnished truth here on the Bernie and Sid Show.
This guy wants to talk to you, Bernie. He's in Portchester. Love that place. Mike on line 1. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I'm a retired teacher, 45 years teaching, and I wanted to recommend a book to you.
Well, go right ahead, Mike. Feel free.
Okay. It's called, I read it back in the 80s. It's called The Closing of the American Mind by Alan Bloom.
Wow. Apparently a lot of these Democrats read it.
Well, I don't think they can read, so therefore they won't be able to.
I hear that.
At least a Catholic school background and everything and Jesuit trained mind, I'm amazed at the pinheads that are over there. But
that's what it's all about, though, is the early prediction. This guy was like Nostradamus. It's coming to fruition these days, the closing of the American mind. Man, God almighty, it is really scary these days. I'll check that out. Thank you very much, Mike.
Thank you, Mike. So what are you doing this weekend? Anything fun? Jimmy Hayes? Little steakhouse?
Maybe a little Jimmy Hayes. I watched the last episode of Gravesend. Continue watching.
The fourth and final one, right?
The fourth and final of the first season. I will watch The Crown and, hang out with my wife, Carol, and enjoy the beach.
Sounds good.
That's what
I'm gonna do. Nice weekend for weather.
Well, it's not going to rain till Saturday night.
Sunday's going to be bad.
Right. Sunday will be an indoors day.
All right. We are done here.
How about you?
I'm going to do nothing.
Good.
I'm going to work here on Sunday, do Sid Sports Sunday. That's noon to 2 every Sunday. It'll be a great sports show coming up. And tomorrow I'm going to relax, and tonight is Ava's birthday party. So,
and say a prayer for Prince Philip.
Yes, don't forget to do that.
By the way, you mentioned earlier, will they invite
Meghan Markle?
Meghan, yeah, the funeral is limited to 30, so they might not.
Wow. Keep an eye on that, folks. We're done. See you next week. Peace. Peace.